Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bill Polian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What are you going to do today?
Whatever I feel like I want to do. God.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
What the heck are you guys doing? Trying to ruin my life? Make me look like a freaking idiot?
Paul Perillo.
I see you're drinking 1%. Is that because you think you're fat?
And Andy. And Andy?
You gonna eat your tots?
Andy Hart.
Give some of your tots.
No, go find your own.
Come on, give some of your tots.
No, I'm freaking starved. I didn't get to eat anything today.
Eric Scalavino.
Aren't you pretty good at drawing, like, animals and warriors and stuff?
Yes. Probably the best that I know of.
For now, anyway.
It took me like 3 hours to finish the shading on your upper lip. It's probably the best drawing I've ever done.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Back in 82, I used to be able to throw a pigskin a quarter mile. How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over the mountains? A coach would have put me in fourth quarter. We'd have been state champions. I'd have gone pro, you know, soaking it up in a hot tub with my soulmate.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. And it is Thursday here at Gillette Stadium. We just came from a very interesting meeting.
Spirited.
Yes.
Good word.
It's going to be an interesting year. 2009, obviously, this is the 50th anniversary of the Patriots, also of the AFL. And to celebrate, a lot of the original AFL teams are doing things throughout the year, which we will be too. But one of them is we're going to be presenting these top lists on Patriots.com throughout the year. And so we're getting a committee together led by Paul Perillo. Paul's in charge. And we're getting these lists together. So a lot of good debate going on. The one we were working on today was top personnel moves.
And draft classes.
And top draft classes. And it's not as easy as you would think.
It was more difficult than you would think.
Yeah, so this is going to be interesting. I'll be eager to see what the fans think of the list that we create. And obviously, there'll be, you know, fans will vote on stuff as well. So it should be a lot of good debate.
Speaking of voting, the last day for your the Matt Cassel ranking the quarterbacks thing on Patriots.com. Today's the last day.
Eric's here.
Barack Obama.
So Eric's here.
And we're going to be putting those out. There's a bunch of different categories we have. We're going to be putting them out one per month in the off season. So starting in March, you're going to see our top 10 personnel moves, and then we're going to move forward from there. But I like the way you threw me under the bus there, Fred.
Why?
So that way, when they disagree with them, they can all direct their anger toward
no,
me.
No, 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 no.
What's going on?
Can
with
anybody
my mic
hear
here?
That?
Yeah, I can hear that now.
Buzzing.
Why is Paul talking through a bush?
Buzzing.
Doesn't it sound like he's hiding behind a bush?
I can't hear you at all now.
But you know what the best thing, Fred, these lists are going to be, if we ever have a slow day on PFW in Progress, we can just start talking about some of these lists and who's not in the top 10 and endless arguments. This is perfect sports
radio. We got great response to the Cassel thing for the last 2 weeks. This is going to generate probably more.
Because you have
more.
50 years and a billion choices to go on.
Oh,
and
an entire franchise history.
The best part is everyone is seen through your own eyes. Like, we all look at the different categories, personnel moves, differently, drafts. You know, we were arguing, if you hit on a number one pick, is that a better draft pick than if you get a better player later in the draft, or is that more luck? And good argument.
Right.
And everybody has their own parameters. Is that
good
any
job,
better?
Gender.
Can you guys hear it better now?
No,
it's still kind of tinny
doing
to
it.
Me.
Same thing.
It's been sounding a little funny the past couple shows.
And there's static coming out of your mic, too.
So fix it.
Luckily,
you need a new wire.
Could be the sweater.
Go to the next Andy.
Luckily, that'll mean
there is
less
another
static electricity.
There's an empty mic over here.
I sit here.
Yeah, Mike. That's...
Paul, that sweater you have on might be generating static electricity.
What's wrong with the sweater?
Is that a new sweater?
No, it's very old, based on all the...
Why do you ask that question to everybody who wears a sweater?
Huh?
You ask that to everybody who wears a question.
Who wears a question?
What's that now?
I just want to know.
This is bad.
Yeah, move over to the mic seat.
Yeah.
Take those headphones off.
Well, just switch mics. You know? You could just unclip it.
But maybe it's the wire. Paul's
moving over.
Socket.
He's not happy. He likes his seat.
We need to get engineering down here to work on that mic.
I don't know what's
Do we
wrong
have
with
engineering?
It. Could be the connection.
I think he's on the other side of the glass.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll never use that mic again.
Right.
All right. What are we talking about today, guys?
Can you hear me better?
Couple moves that the Patriots made, bringing in another Irish guy.
Chad O'Shea.
Chad O'Shea
wide receivers coach.
Now the wide receivers coach.
Yeah.
And they also hired Jason
rehired
Jason Light to be in charge of pro personnel.
Director of pro personnel.
Director of pro personnel. And Jason was with the team, went to the Eagles, eventually made it to vice president there.
Then went to the Cardinals and was with them last year.
Yeah.
With a vague personnel executive title.
Yeah, didn't really have a definitive
and
title.
Now he's back. But clearly didn't burn the bridge when he left. So he crossed back over that bridge back into the department.
So he's back here. So a couple moves there. So now the only opening technically is offensive coordinator.
Is this where you wanted to lay the foundation for your joke? Or?
Well, you got two O'Briens.
No. Now
What?
You have to say the Patriots now have four coaches with O.
Right. You got two O'Briens, an O'Shea, and an O'Penn.
If you assume that they're going to fill that slot.
Well, yeah. I don't think they will.
What's I don't either.
The
offensive coordinator.
Oh, no. I'd be stunned if they did.
Because they'd have done it.
Mike Martz is available.
Yeah.
I mean, Bill did reference vaguely at the Combine that they were still hashing
out
there.
I think he was talking
about
O'Shea.
But I think he was just talking about their wide receivers
like
coach.
That they were
I don't think
finalizing,
they anything,
getting ready to announce him.
Yeah. I don't think there's anything more to it than that.
No. So so that's kind of the personnel moves that have happened since Tuesday.
More importantly.
Yes.
Well, maybe not. I don't know. Do you have something big to say?
I was just going to say the other thing that happened since Tuesday is Paul had his physical. So we all
Hey, I was accurate. More importantly.
And he's not
dead. The agency starts tonight at midnight.
Yes.
That would be rather important.
And there's a lot of guys that have been cut that are out there.
And well, now the latest is a lot of guys signing before. Brandon Jacobs inked a 4-year, $25 million deal. Channing Crowder, who had originally said he wanted out, apparently was
Throw
just
a little bit of money at a guy. And
well, see, no, I think they called his bluff. And I don't think he got a very good deal at all based on the quotes from his agent, which just said, Channing Crowder wanted to stay with the Dolphins. He got what he wanted, and he's with the team he's been with or something. Which to me says, I didn't get him a great contract, but it's because he wanted to stay.
But he said he didn't want to stay originally.
Right, that's my point. I think he was just looking to bump up the money, and now...
And chickened out.
Tick, 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 the clock's ticking, and he was worried that he reads, you know, he waits till tomorrow, and in the morning papers he reads, Dolphins sign Ray Lewis to play linebacker, and goes, uh-oh.
Or no one really comes
or
after
nobody
him,
wanted to go after
and then he
him,
goes back to the Dolphins, and they say, well, we'll take you back, but it'll be for less
but
than...
even worse is... eliminating the possibility of coming back somewhat by
well,
and if he really and if he really wanted to go back to Miami, which I would guess that he did, then I think it's a good move for
players
both,
get
both
criticized
sides.
When they
you don't think he
take too
office?
Much when
oh,
they
I
look
do.
For money and
but
then they get criticized for not
Miami.
Taking enough. So people, media, fans are never happy with players.
Well, there's been two big deals so far: the Raiders re-signing their cornerback, which everybody says is ridiculous what they signed him to.
What, I saw numbers that were definitely different. What are the numbers for this?
3 years, $45 million.
And that's ridiculous?
Yes.
Okay.
I think. I mean, it's virtually all
guaranteed.
Because
you don't think the guy's that good.
He got $45 million
guaranteed
money.
Because you don't think the guy's that good, though, right? Because I know that
I
both came away very unimpressed with him.
That's accurate. But I also think, I mean, this is like the Richard Seymour contract. He's relatively young. He got virtually guaranteed money over a short term and will be a free agent again. He got...
Yeah.
When you negotiate, usually you give up one
something.
To get the other.
I see what
he gave up nothing. Tom Condon just said, Al Davis signed this, and Al Davis signed it. Condon also got $9 million for a punter who, I mean, are they really a punter away from winning? And he's a punter who I think has a strong leg, but is not necessarily a team player.
He's a selfish punter.
He tries to kick the ball
as far as he possibly can every
time.
Right. He'd rather have a touchback than to pooch it inside the five.
And maybe that would be different elsewhere. Maybe, you know, he's a selfish player on a team that's a sinking ship, but you overpaid to keep your punter.
But more than the plus 50 punting with Lechlow, though, I think he's one of those guys, like Andy said, he kicks it as far as he can. if the situation calls for, you know, angling toward the sideline, you know, from your own 20, making sure there's no reach. He doesn't care about that.
He doesn't. Right. He wants to show off his leg.
He wants to kick
Chicks
the ball 60
the
yards
long ball.
And end up, you know, with a, maybe a 35-yard net.
But
getting back to the
why are we listening to the Revs?
The hell are you doing?
But getting back to the
has no idea how to run that board.
Getting back to the cornerback signing.
We're back to the cornerback signing.
That a lot of people said is, you know, too much to pay. The question here is that we have.
You really hear that?
Yes.
Yes. What the hell's going on?
I've never, in all the years that we've done this show, I've never seen Fred so exasperated to try to get a comment out as he is right now.
Well, I just think it's funny that our producer is playing things and then really says, "Did you guys really hear that?" And throwing his hands in the air, he doesn't know how to run the board.
Stop pressing the buttons when we're talking, 2G. What are you doing in there?
He doesn't know.
He's overworked. That's the
problem. The only buttons
Fred.
You should be pushing Fred. Right now are our volume level.
He's overworked.
To make sure
that we're
all
the food equal.
Arrives on time.
Yes. He's overworked. That's the problem.
He's got a lot on his plate.
He's got too much.
To say,
and he's doing too much.
He's taking on a lot for this company, and we're all very proud of him.
Jack of all trades.
We're all very proud.
Master of none.
But getting back to my thought.
On cornerbacks.
Not on cornerback, but on what these deals might be this year. The question is, do you sign these guys for what might look like a little bit too much right now, knowing that in a year or two, that's going to be a deal because of what the new collective bargaining agreement might be or what an uncapped year might have? You know, so
yes, but possible. I think that played a big factor.
And they've already
in all the
raised,
franchise
they've
guys.
Already raised the cap $4 million this year.
Yeah,
it's 127 now.
Yep. Yeah,
it's up some to technicality. I really
got
to
stop doing the Andy routine of ignoring everything that's going on.
Andy knew that, so I guess it's not the Andy routine.
I mean, Asamoah signed 3 weeks ago, and I didn't know what the numbers were until today.
But I think that had to do with all the franchise record number of franchise players. I mean, 3-year deals, 4-year deal for a punter that you're overpaying. To me, that's still kind of dangerous. You don't know what the landscape's going to be.
Right. So what about now?
But shorter term, big money.
Yeah.
You know, to go with your thing. So you're not really, even if it's something that you're not expecting, right. You can get out of it.
Yeah.
Like Ray Lewis, if the Ravens, you know, there was reports that he's going to go back to Baltimore. If they sign him to a 2-year, $25 million deal, I'll say, you know, that's what they're doing. He's a great player. It's a short-term deal. You overpay to keep him for a short term.
And that's how you're attracting him. You're giving him more money.
I actually would if
up front.
Yeah. That's, I would
that's
do that with
attracting guys. Well, and I think that Fred's point, you know, is largely accurate.
I think 2 weeks from now, we'll be able to get a real good idea of what the pattern is and what the thinking is of teams, of what the economic landscape is going to be for the next 2 to 3 years.
And I think you're right.
By the deals that are going to get signed.
I think GMs will, too, because there were sort of a variety of comments on that topic at the Combine.
Yeah, about the economy.
Kevin Colbert was, you got to be smart, but you got to do what you've always done and what you think is right. Pioli kind of just laughed it off and said, I'm not smart enough to know what the economics are going to be.
You would have loved that.
To which I said, well, then Lamar Hunt signed a terrible person to hand millions of dollars and then allow him to spend millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. But another Caldwell from Indy was very much, the economy's affecting everything. It's going to affect
the market.
It's going to
affect the way we do business.
Beyond just the labor uncertainty.
I think it's going to affect not only free agents, but also coaching signings. I think, you know, next year we talked about guys like Shanahan and Holmgren possibly being available.
I think there's a reason those guys aren't working because the day of that, you know, Washington Redskin multi-million dollar staff, I think, is at least for now over.
I think it might be.
But along those lines, why wouldn't you keep Shanahan? I mean, you were a 500 football team. You didn't need
Well, that
to
was
fire.
Different. I think even though that, those guys kind of – they do like each other, Bolin and Chan, I think it had come to a point where –
They just knew that
we
it
need
was time.
To, we need to part ways.
Maybe. I'm just saying if money was at the top of your to-do list.
I don't think it was. I don't think for that decision
Because even
it
if
was.
Josh is only making, whatever, $1 million a year, you added to payroll.
Yeah. But now that you got Haynesworth, who was rumored to be signed by the Redskins.
Now,
for,
this is a different deal.
Yeah.
That's a blowing him out of the water deal. I mean,
well,
that's huge.
That sounds like one of those old deals too, because I don't really think he's getting $100 million.
No.
And now, how is he able to?
But,
how is this
but
able
now
to happen?
It's, is it true?
It can't.
Well, right.
It's illegal.
Is it true though?
But it came out of Houston, and Paul and I theorized that Houston used to be Tennessee, and there's a lot going on there.
I'm sure there are guys in Tennessee's organization that still know the people in Houston media.
Yeah.
It was a John McClain story, right?
Yeah.
In the Houston Chronicle. It was a Houston
Chronicle
story.
I think that's what
I'm
you
pretty
said,
sure.
Yeah.
Might have been Richard Justice.
Oh, I didn't know for sure if it was McClain, but
who's Richard Justice?
I don't know.
He's a Houston guy.
Is he a writer in Houston? I thought he was a baseball guy though. Maybe he's a general columnist, which would kind of
Justice, comma Dick.
But it would kind of make sense even more so that he was a longtime columnist, because that would be the guy that someone in the Tennessee organization would have a relationship with. And you understand what I'm saying here, Fred? People in Tennessee are probably upset about this, and they wanted to get it out there that Washington did this.
Yep.
And now, you know, Haynesworth is commenting, kind of like, not specifically addressing it, but saying, I'm going to get this massive deal, and I'm going to prove all the naysayers wrong. I'm not going to get fat. And
why is he saying anything?
This whole thing is snowballing, and we still haven't gotten to free agency.
Right. He's going to get himself in trouble with the league. He's going to get
nobody worries about that.
Haynesworth's not going to be in trouble, but the team, I mean, that's clearly tampering going on.
Right. Yeah.
Well, and Raheem Morris at the Combine saying, he's on our radar.
Now, I'm going to make
it. I think you can do that.
Before I get to John of Palm Bay on the phone, I'm going to make one prediction. I'm throwing it out here right now so that I can make it before anyone else does. I know that Julius Peppers was signed to a non-exclusive franchise with
Carolina.
He will be a Patriot this year.
I'll say he won't be. Okay.
Okay.
So I'll make that prediction.
All right. John at Palm Bay is on the phone. John, how you doing?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Great. What's up, Johnny boy?
Hey, I got a quick question. I don't know if you guys might have already covered this. Hello?
Yes.
Is this thing on?
Okay. Free agents that are out there that the Patriots might be interested in, and also I want to hear, I got an idea that Patriots might do something I don't really would like to see it doing, but not. Maybe go off to Pac-Man Jones for a veteran minimum.
No. Absolutely not.
Overrated player, underrated headache.
Toxic. Don't want anything like that. No, not at all.
He's not good enough. Somewhere along the line, people thought he was like Champ Bailey, and
the
he
risk
had one
reward
good season
thing,
at corner.
Yeah, the risk-reward thing there isn't, you know, we're not talking about a superstar.
Right.
Yeah.
He's physically
not Champ
gifted.
Bailey.
Right.
He's mentally challenged, and he had one good year.
Yeah.
You can go play in the UFL.
They should.
All right.
Sure.
And my other question is just free agents that Patriots might be interested. I'll have to wish you guys. I'm driving, so.
Okay.
I'll wait to tell you on the webcast.
All right, John. All right, John of Palm Bay, thanks for calling in. Well, free agents out there that the Patriots might be interested in.
I don't know if we'll go over the whole free agent class, but I said to Paul this morning, Lavernius Coles worked out a deal out of New York. To me, he's the kind of guy, which I said, makes it easier to fill that third veteran receiver slot. That
two
Patriots
continues
will
to spiral out of control.
I'm hearing clicking and clacking and
pop.
But anyway, I think Lavernius Coles could be a Patriot, and I think he'd make your offense better.
I saw that this morning too, and that's the first thing I thought of.
And
that,
I also, you know, we talked about it, Paul. Like, I think he really wants to win. Like, he's had frustrations over the years at different times.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's immature. Is that my microphone? Or
who are you calling?
The phone is
the
ringing.
The phone's ringing.
I hear a phone.
What are you doing in there?
Oh,
did you just
God.
Call someone? Why is the phone ringing?
Unbelievable.
Oh, my God.
Unbelievable.
Can we make that one phone call I've been wanting to make for months
Maybe
now?
That's why the phone was ringing.
Yo, G, what's up?
Derek Brooks is now out there. I'm sure Patriots fans.
John in L.A. is on the phone.
Meanwhile, that was Pizzeria Grande confirming our order, and he just hung up on them.
I mean, you're a clown.
That's all right. He's got a lot on his mind. He's
why do you bounce around between ripping him and then propping him up? Ripping him and
well,
propping
him up.
That's what
you do. That's the Parcells way.
Yeah. You're right. That is what you do as a leader.
I think he's a ball in tall grass.
He's a ball
in
tall
grass. Lost.
Lost.
Oh.
Okay.
That's the Parcells way. Get rid of him.
All right. What were you saying? Who was saying it? And what?
John. Lavernius Coles is a Patriot.
Lavernius Coles is a guy.
Obvious. Fred Taylor is on their radar.
Fred Taylor's on
the radar.
He was
here yesterday.
I love that
no
idea.
No update about that, huh?
No.
In terms of the actual free
agents. The quiet before the storm when the release comes out.
Right. The actual free agents out there, the various positions and stuff, you know, we talked about a lot of different defensive backs. Some of those guys were franchised, and some of them have signed, you know, the Dante Robinsons and Otagwe in St. Louis. 14 franchise players. I mean, there's a lot of franchise
record,
players.
A record number.
So, is Robinson signed to a long-term deal or just he got the tender?
He got franchised.
Right. He doesn't want to be.
No, I think they're still working. I don't know. They might have actually. Did he sign?
He got a little pissy.
Did he? I didn't.
Because
he
thought that the GM apparently made some comments that were kind of innocuous to him, and Robinson took him as, we're not going to franchise you, so there was some
miscommunication. How many of these franchise players do you think teams want to trade? And do you think that that makes it more exciting this offseason?
Yes.
We might see more trades this offseason.
Well, I think anytime you have a possibility for trade, it's more exciting.
And a franchise quarterback, a defensive player of the year in Julius Peppers. I think any of the other, I mean, corners, and there's a number of other bodies that could be. I mean, you have some legitimate trade possibilities.
The quarterback?
Who?
The quarterback here?
I said the franchise quarterback.
Oh, I didn't hear that part. Sorry.
He doesn't listen.
Well, he's not as good as Sage Rosenfels, but
that's true. Paul doesn't think so.
I didn't say that he wasn't as good as Sage Rosenfels.
Right after you said Patriots fans are stupid, you said Sage Rosenfels is better.
All I said was that he's a lot cheaper than Castle, and I don't think there's a huge difference. Well, I think Castle had a better year than Sage Rosenfels did 2 years ago, but Rosenfels threw 15 touchdown passes 2 years ago, the last time he played any significant stretch.
Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. Webradio at Patriots.com.
It doesn't cost you $60 million in a first-round pick.
508-543-7482 is the phone number. And on the phone right now is John in L.A. John, how you doing?
Good. How's everything going?
Great.
Hey, John.
Good. Hey. I've been reading Ask PFW lately, and some of the ideas for trades have led me to a great idea. How about if we do a four-team trade where we give them Castle, and we get back Patrick Wills, Bob Sanders, and Larry Fitzgerald.
I like it.
Yeah.
They're going to have to throw in a draft pick.
No, maybe they'll throw in Larry Izzo and Eric.
Are you being sarcastic?
No. Well, those teams that are giving those players to us are going to have to throw in a draft pick.
That's a good point. Maybe a second pick, conditional.
Right.
That is unbelievable. God bless FPFW. I love reading it, but some of those questions are amazing.
Yeah.
All right.
Is that all you have?
All right.
No, not that kind of all right.
Oh, all right.
All right.
Fred Taylor, you guys were just talking about.
Love him.
I was thinking that if he goes to Buffalo, I'd be pretty surprised, or I'd think that they would have offered substantially more money. And I'm not just trying to be a Patriots homer. I just think
I agree with that.
The guy is at a point in his career where he wants to get a ring.
Right.
He has shown that, like Eric, he doesn't have a problem with sharing the load.
Gratuitous remark, John.
Sorry, Eric.
Gratuitous.
Wow. Is that a snowball reference?
Very good. Hair gel?
John, we all know Eric doesn't like to share.
Well, you might. I don't.
I completely agree with you, John. I think
lubricants.
Anything that's even close to being equal, I can't imagine, because he's not going to be. It's not like the role is going to be significantly different in Buffalo as long as Lynch is there, unless they say that. You know, we're planning on losing Lynch. We need you to come in and carry the load for us. That might be different, but the role seems to be the same.
Mm-hmm.
The money would be probably around the same, and you can't make an argument that Buffalo's in better position right now than New England.
Or just
that
flat out
Bill Belichick, Dick Geron.
But I look at it on a play-by-play basis. Forget winning and coaching. The fact that Randy Moss is on offense, the safety's deeper, I could have big runs as Fred Taylor in New England that
mm-hmm. –
kind of it's the exact opposite in Buffalo, where they load the box up because they're a run based offense.
Right.
So I'm just, you know, 10 carries a game, I could break a 40 yarder every week with Randy Moss taking the
and
safety
I
out
know
of the box.
Patriots fans like to point to every single guy gets released and say he's a Patriot kind of guy, but Fred Taylor really does seem like that with how he handled Maurice Jones-Drew and you know, seemed like to be a good guy about that. Obviously Belichick loves him. I mean, I think it's a great fit. I think it's a sort of, I don't know, maybe a Rodney Harrison, not that he's that kind of guy, but the sort of mutual admiration society kind of thing.
Absolutely.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
100%.
I think it makes a lot of sense. And as soon as he was available, we all kind of, it was one of the rare times we all agreed right away.
Yep. Has he visited already or is
yes.
that
today?
Yes.
According to reports. He's,
I never saw him, but reportedly.
Know, and he actually said in Buffalo earlier in the week that he was heading to New England. That's really the only reason why we know that.
Indeed. Buffalo is one of those weird teams that we've talked about that they bring a guy in for a visit, they make him available,
to the media.
Yeah.
I like those. We can't even get players that have been on this team for like 5 years.
I haven't talked to Brady since.
I would never do that. It's
your
team.
Fault. You
that
missed his
ridiculous.
Press conference.
That's
especially when he announces that he's going somewhere else after you.
That is just dumb.
You know?
Dumb. Dumb.
We don't really
relations.
Think Derek Brooks is somebody that we're going to pursue, do we?
I don't believe so.
I don't think so either.
It doesn't seem like the right type or size. I know that every now and then Belichick likes a guy like Vilma. But.
I mean, does Derek Brooks still think he's a starter in this league?
Yeah, based on the way he was kind of stunned that he got released and not happy.
If Derek Brooks was on the Patriots, he'd be a starter. I mean, he'd start next to Mayo, in my opinion.
You think so?
Yeah.
I agree with John. I agree with John that he might not be the perfect fit for the 3-4, but, I mean, he's clearly a better player than what we have.
Right. The way I phrased it upstairs when we were talking about this, Paul, was I don't think they'll pursue him, but I think Bill would make great use of him.
Yeah. I think that's a good way of putting it. I agree with Andy.
Okay.
I wanted to say one more thing, which I know it's, I'm not doing revisionist draft history because that's cheap and you can any team can do that. But I'm going to list Raiders. Some players, and I want you to tell me which pair of players from the following would you most like to have had instead of Ben Watson and Marquise Hill in that particular draft? Carlos Dansby, Bob Sanders, Chris Snee, Bernard Berrian, Jared Allen.
All of them.
No, I know. Pick two of those.
Carlos Dansby.
Yeah.
What was the other one after Dansby?
Say the whole list again.
Bob Sanders.
There you go.
Without a doubt.
Sanders and Dansby.
Those are mine, too. Yeah.
Jared Allen's a pretty good
player.
I would
go Jared Allen, Bob Sanders.
Bob Sanders doesn't play
Sanders
half the
and
time.
Dansby.
I mean, this is kind of a caveat. Provided that they could make Jared Allen that outside linebacker hybrid
right.
and use him in that role, you know, provided he has the ability to do that, Sanders and Allen.
And keep him out of the bar?
You know, Bernard Berrian, to me, is a pedestrian wide receiver.
Yeah,
I'm not overly impressed with him.
But I like the thought.
Thanks a lot for everything, guys.
All right. John in L.A.
You know, I'm a bad guy.
We kind of have Chris Snee.
You
I
are.
Mean, in the way the lineman that we have.
Ben Watson and Marquise Hill. And my first thought was, one guy's a stiff.
One guy's a stiff.
You are a bad guy.
See, now that's
that was
you really
wrong.
Are
that,
a bad guy.
That's just really Porter me.
Yeah,
it is, and I should apologize. Although we far enough where jokes were.
No.
All right, that's John in L.A., webradiopatriots.com. The email address, 508-543-7482. So I think, and despite, here's another thing that I'm thinking, that despite the fact that they've got a lot of that they have a lot of money tied up in Castle and Brady, and you would think that's going to keep them from being active in the free agent market, I think they will be active. I don't think they'll make a big Redskins splash like a Haynesworth deal for anyone, but they're going to be very active.
Well, like 2 years ago?
$4 million.
On the order of 2 years ago when they made the trades for Moss and Welker and they signed Thomas and all that.
Yeah, I think you're going to see a lot
Washington and Stallworth. And
Patriots. I mean, are you counting the Castle move as part of that activity?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, okay, then
yeah.
I agree.
Then yeah.
I thought you meant with that because I don't think they can be very active until they make a move.
I think
which is
even,
why I think the first this weekend is going to be
an
active
Even if they don't make
one.
That move right away, they'll be doing things.
But how?
They'll figure it out.
Okay.
Restructuring contracts, releasing guys, bringing them back.
Fred, do you agree this weekend is going to be an active weekend for this team?
I don't know about this weekend, but in the next few weeks, yeah.
Well, because in free agency nowadays, right? Because a few weeks, it's typically over.
Either you're active in the first phase or you're bottom feeding in the second.
Yeah.
Like Eric said, like 2 years ago, it was the crack of midnight.
Right.
Last year, it was bottom feeding.
Right.
So it's two kind of different things.
I say it's 2 years ago.
They're going to be active.
I don't
like 2 years ago. Then
I don't think so. Okay. Not unless they have a trade to announce to us right away.
I don't think
that's happening.
I don't want to see them bottom feeding in 2-3 weeks.
I think they've got something up their sleeves.
Well, I like.
Then you're pointing to
well,
something.
I really
happening
like
this weekend.
When Fred talks like.
So
that.
Far this show, he said, when it's all said and done, Julius Peppers is going to be a Patriot, and I think they have something up their sleeve.
That's what I was getting at, and I really like.
By the way,
Fred
you're not
talks.
The first. ESPN the magazine's the first because in print it said if Julius Peppers gets his way this offseason, he'll be playing defensive end for the
Patriots
next
really?
Fall.
Really? Yeah.
In like a dot 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 unnamed.
Really,
I did not see that.
Okay,
I don't think he's playing defensive end for the Patriots
either.
Next fall.
Yeah, I did not see that.
If he's on the Patriots,
outside linebacker.
It's an outside
whoever
linebacker.
Wrote that doesn't know that the Patriots run a 3-4.
Why I thought maybe you did it.
mother.
Andy's mother. What's wrong with that?
All right.
Castle trade, Fred. Timetable, before or after March 5th?
March 5th.
Before.
After.
Before.
I got to think after, too.
I think they'll be working on it before, but we won't hear about it until after.
This weekend. It's all going down.
Now, really? You think you can spin to an agent, just name some good player you might want to go after. D'Angelo Hall. You're talking to D'Angelo Hall, whoever his agent is, and, you know, we don't have the cap money right now, so I need you to wait 2 days.
Oh, what's this one?
Yeah, I think you can.
Because, you know, we got to trade Castle to get the $14 million, and can you spin that?
I think you can.
I ignore Fred because he's ignoring me.
There's a new E-Trade baby commercial on.
I haven't seen
you
that one.
Me, Andy, you backed me up so strongly in the meeting. I'm Karen.
But it's a
I'm giving a bleep
dangerous
for you
move on your the Hall end. Because if the Patriots don't trade Castle and you kind of turn down somebody else,
it's a dangerous move on both sides. Because if you really want that guy and you're telling him, I want you, but can you wait for me? There's no guarantees in life.
Right,
all of a sudden, someone comes in while that guy's supposed to be waiting for you. Even if, let's say, you say, listen, D'Angelo Hall, we want you. We're going to offer you X for X, and I just have to clear the cap space and get this Castle trade finalized. Well, 2 days later, someone offers him Y and Y, Y for Y, and Hall says, well, you know what? I was willing to wait, but they offered me more. See ya.
Mm. Well, at least come back to us and say, okay, we'll up it. Still wait for us.
Yeah, but what if the essence is what I'm saying?
Right. You run that. But, you know.
And a side note on the Hall thing. By all reports, the number of times Hall's going to go back to the Redskins. So apparently they're going to be active. I mean, there's a potential for them to announce like $150 million worth of contracts.
Well, the Hall thing, what are they waiting for? I mean, they don't have to wait. They can just sign him if they want to. So the longer this time has gone by, the less I think he's going to be back in Washington.
Maybe they got
to
sign him.
They've got it mixed up.
He might be one of those. He might be one of those things with yeah, I see what you're going there. But it might be one of those things like, you know, with Randy Moss last year. The longer it goes, and then he gets out there, you know, the Patriots were sort of fortunate that Moss decided, I'm not leaving Tom Brady.
Right.
And he stayed, and he turned down Philadelphia. But I think if you let Hall get out there, he might not make that same choice. I'm wondering what Washington's doing.
I think that thought crossed through his mind on September whatever when Tom Brady went down in the first quarter of the first game.
Absolutely. And
I mean specifically.
I think he admitted it this week.
Well, I mean specifically, like, I should have gone to Philly.
Yeah. I guarantee he was thinking that.
Now, the rumor is that if Haynesworth goes to the Skins, they'll get rid of Jason Taylor. Would you, if you're the Patriots?
Yep, sure.
Take Jason Taylor?
Absolutely.
Of course.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, he's even better because he has experience in a 3-4 system. He's bounced around and done the Saban thing.
Matter
he's
of fact,
more
I'd
ready.
Rather have that than Julius Peppers.
Really?
Because I think Julius Peppers is 1,000 times better player. But
it's going to cost so much.
You don't know what he's going to do for sure, like Andy's concerns.
And he's cheaper.
And the money.
Yeah.
I mean, Taylor, you're talking about a $2 million deal or something.
For a
Can
year?
He still play, though?
Sure. Why not?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. He's getting up there.
And I give him the Bill Belichick benefit of the doubt that he'll be better here than he was under
Jim
Zorn.
The invigorating aspect of Belichick.
Well, not even beyond that. I think, like, didn't we watch the first game last year? And they basically, the Giants ran Brandon Jacobs
right at him.
Jason Taylor. I think Bill Belichick will make an adjustment and won't allow that to just happen.
Okay. Interesting stuff.
Really,
what do you got there, Eric? What
really
are you reading?
We're really turning into
Patriots.com. The
Jason
interview.
Taylor, he's coming. We got Fred Taylor. We're just signing up Hall of Famers left and right on this show.
Well, they all want to come here.
His quote, Paul, to follow up on what you were saying about Moss this week when he talked to John Tomasi of the Herald, it was kind of uncertainty, feeling a little bit unsure, Moss said. At the same time, I was a little depressed just for the fact of the magic that me and Tom had created, man. That was something that was hard to say goodbye to. Just like a snap of a finger, everything was gone. So he admitted he had some
I liked the quotes about injuries, and he said, you know, people go down all the time. It's just not always the golden boy or
golden Tommy child. Boy. Yeah.
The golden child.
Tommy.
Yeah.
Right?
Even the
Tommy
players
boy?
Call him the golden child.
I love when he calls him Tommy, too. Yeah. It cracks me up. Tommy boy.
All right.
Yeah. Sadly, it was the golden child, Tommy boy. You know what I mean?
That's the golden child.
And then he fall. You know what I mean?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, it's kind of hard not to.
Okay, so this is going to be fun next few weeks, following all
it
this
should
activity.
Be very, very interesting.
This weekend.
This weekend and into
Stay
early
close
next
to your sets
week.
And your laptops.
Who's on call this weekend?
Paul.
Paul's on call?
What's that?
Well, Andy and I were on call last weekend, the whole weekend, so it eliminates us.
If the Patriots make any announcements, who's doing the updates on the website?
Paul. What do you want?
Just someone to be ready, you know?
For what?
Okay.
To make updates on the website.
When it's announced, official.
That's what I'm concerned
about.
But
only when things become official.
I'm concerned.
Not like I did on a weekend 2 years ago and wrote, David Givens is expected to re-sign with the Patriots, and then come to find out that report was totally wrong.
So
we're only reporting official news.
My concern is not having anything up there and drawing your ire, and my concern is having something up there that's not supposed to be up there.
If it's not an official thing, as long as you say someone else is reporting it.
Oh, that wasn't good enough last time.
Right. That's what I get.
I got bitch slapped like a mofo for the David Givens thing.
I don't remember that.
By who?
I remember you getting...
Everybody was yelling at me.
I remember you getting in trouble.
How did you word it?
Report, Givens to resign. According to a report in today's, it was either Houston or Tennessee paper.
You might have been too strong with it.
What?
Now you know why.
Too strong with the
this.
Word report?
No, what you do is you start the title and say, rumors swirling about Givens.
That's why I don't do it anymore.
Report said. Report colon.
No, but that's really strong. If you say rumors swirling around Givens.
Yeah, it's strong saying you've already, the very first strong. Word I'm telling you, this is nothing to do with me.
You have already conditioned the reader to know that they're just rumors.
Hey, boss.
Right. That's what report means.
The answer is until we get the release from PR, don't write a damn thing.
People read report differently.
We'll get in trouble.
You think they take report to mean certified?
Well, some people, it's a little bit stronger than rumor, you know?
Rampant speculation, colon.
So,
not us saying it, colon.
I don't know the rules, Paul, so I can't.
What's the matter?
I have a speaking engagement on Saturday, too.
You have one?
I do.
Where?
Some sports management.
Hall of Famers typically do, group. Fred, you know.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Where?
You were lying your ass off.
$10K you getting for this?
That's generally my price now that I'm a Hall of Famer.
$10K, huh?
Wow.
That's what Tip told me. I can just, you know, anything below 10 grand, you don't even entertain.
So you're
you're
addressing students, adults?
Students.
About adults. Sports management.
Sports, you know, working in the sports
In the sports
business.
Yeah.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
That's what I said.
Right.
Well, you show up around 9:45, you call it a day around 1.
9:45, no traffic that day. I got here quick.
So that'll be good. Is this being filmed? Can we get a Woo! Copy of this?
It's not being filmed.
Widescreen?
No? Oh, it's got to be to get you in.
But more importantly, how did the doctor's appointment go on Tuesday?
Oh, it went pretty well, Fred.
You're all set?
Yeah.
No problems?
Yeah. Cholesterol was just a little teeny, teeny bit high.
Not as high as I thought it was going to be for you, though. That was good. That's positive.
That's good.
Teeny bit high. Blood pressure was outstanding.
Yeah.
They're not putting you on medication for that, right?
The weight's obviously got to come down a little bit.
Did you guys smoke
the
a cigarette
The BMI
after?
Was a little dangerously close to bad levels.
BMI, what's that?
Body mass index.
Yeah,
a number you don't want to find. You won't do well in that number.
So contrary to your opinion, Fred, I did not die 2 years ago.
What are you looking at me
ago.
For? He said it.
I did not die 2 years ago.
He's formulated.
As you reported here on BFW in Progress.
If they report, come to the BMI colon. For your head, you'd
report,
be in trouble.
Report, colon, Perillo dead.
Dead.
That's a little too strong.
Rumors.
Rumors
Perillo
circulating.
Died.
Perillo died.
That would be better.
Yeah.
Right.
Tucci's eating an apple. He's being really
yeah,
healthy.
You know what we're not eating? Our lunch. Where's our food? It's getting dangerously close to the time I have to leave.
Wow.
Which is good news for Eric and Andy.
All right, let's get to some emails because I want to hold off on the break until the food comes. What? Who's on the phone?
Michael in Puerto Rico.
Oh, Mike in Puerto Rico's on the phone. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great.
Hola.
Yeah. First of all, I'd like to get to regarding last Thursday's show with Paul.
I'm here.
It was actually pretty good, and I got to say, if Mike Greece isn't the humblest person on the planet, I don't know who is.
He's very humble.
I don't know who is.
Very humble, very informative, he's got a good report. And yeah, somebody from the show might have to watch out. He comes back and takes somebody's spot there. So
well, he's not coming back here.
He's universally known as the nicest guy in Boston sports media.
Yeah. He wouldn't last 10 minutes in this room.
And that would be a step or 10 back down the ladder for him to come back and replace one of us. He's passed us by, Mike.
Well, if he's listening, good luck with his impending childbirth.
Yep.
Yes.
Best of luck to him. A couple of names I want to throw out to you guys real quick to see what you guys thought of, because I didn't get to listen to the post-combine show. And I was wondering if you guys heard anything about a safety out of Rutgers, 6'2", 210, by the name of Courtney Green.
That was on the day that we had to leave, so we didn't get a chance to talk to most of those guys. We talked to the top two of the top five corners, and I don't think we got to – you didn't get to any safeties, did you, Andy?
No, I never saw a single safety come in the room.
So
we'll have more on the safeties when we get the film, and then we'll
it's
be
– It's a weak position, I'll tell you that.
We'll be posting a lot of stuff on Patriots.com about each position.
It's unlikely there will be a first-round pick there. It's the kid out
There's
of
a
Eastern,
Delmas.
Delmas.
Who's out – yeah, was Eastern Michigan?
Michigan.
I got
you
the thing right here.
You might want to look at the guy because, I mean, just looking at the at his numbers, I mean, 6'2", 210, 4'5", 40.
Yep.
And just listen at the tackles. 2005, 116 tackles. 2006, 82 tackles. 2007, 101. 2008, 87. If those aren't Rodney Harrison numbers, I don't know what are.
He certainly has all the measurables. Courtney Green, Rutgers. Yeah, he's listed in our little chart here as the 16th ranked safety.
Where do they project
in a draft class of a C grade?
Where do they project him?
Fifth to sixth round.
Might be an interesting late round pick to keep an eye on out of Rutgers.
And we've got a pretty good relationship with Shiano, right? Here?
How do we know?
Well, we saw him walking around once.
The staff did come here.
For a training camp visit,
yes.
I believe.
Yeah. Yes, they did come here.
So we would get some good you know, input on him if he's worth taking.
And he sounds like value. I mean, Bill likes production.
Yeah. What's Rodney? Rodney's 6'1", 210, more or less?
6'1", or 6'2", somewhere
like
around there.
Yeah.
I mean, he just looks like the Rodney Harrison clone, and, I mean, that's just me. Just to get off the phone and let you guys converse, what would you say?
Second, Mike. 6'1", 220 for Rodney. 6'1", 220. Yeah.
So he's not that far off.
No, it's about the same.
Todd McShay still has Andre Smith in top 10.
Pounds with a real professional, you know, strength and conditioning program, right?
When he gets in the program, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'll definitely win the long ball drive today.
And I know there's a lot of names going out, Marvin Harrison and a lot of wide receivers out there, but I'm pretty intrigued, and I don't know what you guys think. What would Ronald Curry look like in a Patriots uniform?
Kind of short. I don't really know. No, I don't. Have much.
He's from the. He left. He was
I know who.
Yeah, we know who he is. But I
former, you know, former
University
North
of North Carolina
guy,
basketball and football player
and a quarterback at North Carolina.
And
developed
made,
into. He was their best receiver. He had a good
he
year.
Was.
3 years ago.
You know what? He stands out. He's made some unbelievably difficult catches, the highlight reel catches. But he has never really been a very consistent player.
And maybe that has something to do with the fact that there was nobody to throw to him.
Absolutely.
You know.
But also, you know, I would wonder how much Bill would want, knowing the MO of a guy like Wes Welker or a guy like Deion Branch, where route running, knowledge of the offense are so important, to take a guy who hasn't played the position all that long and in the pro level has been playing the position in a bad system in Oakland, if he would fit the mold of a smart receiver. The other side of that would be, as a former quarterback, he might understand offenses very well, and maybe he would. So my guess is I'll never see
I'm
him.
Intrigued by the talent. But
good athlete.
I'm intrigued by the talent, Michael, world but class. I'm not sure that that's a huge fit.
I don't know. We're 50-50 with Oakland receivers. What was the name of the receiver that we got from Oakland before we got Randy?
Doug Gabriel.
Yeah. Who looked like a tight end in the making, and I don't know what he – I guess he had a real bad fumble in a game. I don't know what he got cut. You know,
he was a tall guy.
Yeah, he wasn't really a tight end type. He was tall.
He had good size.
Didn't really catch on with the offense.
He actually went back to the Raiders after he left here.
Yeah. He had the one good game in Minnesota, I think.
Yeah.
And Cincinnati. He also had a nice touchdown catch against the Bengals. But, he never really caught on.
Do you think Kelly Washington's release is a testament as to where Sam Aiken is going to fit into the offense?
No,
I don't think they released him for that
special
purpose.
Teamers.
Yeah,
I mean Kelly Washington.
He looks good when he catches the ball. And he turns around. He looks like he means business. He looks like Daniel Graham when he caught the ball and you turned around and everybody was like petrified of tackling him.
I agree.
Aiken held on to the ball though.
He has strong hands, but I mean at this point in his NFL career, I'd be stunned if he suddenly became an offensive weapon of any sort.
Yeah.
Well, just like Washington caught one pass. What's that?
No.
A David Givens?
No, that's disrespectful to David Givens.
Yeah, he's.
Oh, okay.
He'll give you maybe 10 catches or something like that.
Yeah, he's a role player. He's a role player,
like a 4 or 5 receiver.
If you go to a 4 or 5 set,
I don't think that he's going to be a guy that's capable of giving you 40 catches.
He's not the number 3 guy.
Okay.
All right, guys.
Michael from Puerto Rico.
So Michael is right. The wide receiver core in general, they probably need to bolster that a little bit with some depth, and that's why Andy brought up Lavernius Coles. If you bring in a veteran like that and then draft the guy,
I was going to say you still need a young guy to develop because Moss isn't getting any younger.
Right.
Lavernius Coles isn't getting any younger, or Galloway or whoever you bring in as a veteran.
There are some good
prospects.
It
wouldn't necessarily be a first day concern for me, but it's something I would.
Yeah, I would expect them. And there are a lot of good receivers in this draft. There are a lot of taller receivers than last year. Last year, it seemed like everybody was a 5'9 Wes Welker type slot
depth
guy.
In this draft.
There's a lot more 6 feet to 6'6 type big number one, number two type wide receivers in this draft.
You like big receivers?
All right. With that, we're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
MLS soccer action returns to Foxborough as the Revs kick off the 2009 season.
Gillette Stadium comes alive!
Be a part of the action all season long as the Revs make another run at the Super League Championship and an MLS Cup Championship.
Season tickets are now on sale for the 2009 season. This 20-game package features 15 regular season and 5 exclusive soccer matches. The Revs kick off 2009 on April 4th when they take on FC Dallas. See a Super League final rematch with the Houston Dynamo. Conference rival DC United's only trip to Foxborough. Be there when the LA Galaxy take on the Revs. The reigning MLS Cup champion Columbus Crew and many more. Taylor Twellman.
Oh, what a goal by Taylor Twellman!
Matt Reese.
Off the line and saved by Reese.
And the rest of the Revs are set to kick off 09. And you won't want to miss a minute of the exciting action at Gillette Stadium. Call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REVS to get your 2009 season tickets. Pride, passion, revolution.
With the 10th pick, the New England Patriots select Jerod Mayo, linebacker, Tennessee.
Last year's draft produced the NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year. What will this year bring? Discover the future stars of your favorite team at the 2009 New England Patriots official draft party powered by Autotrader.com. Saturday, April 25th, watch the draft on huge TVs and enjoy a lunch buffet in the Fidelity Investments Clubhouse at Gillette Stadium. Get updates from the Patriots front office and coaching staff throughout the day with scheduled appearances by current and former Patriots players, cheerleaders, and Pat Patriot. Think you're an NFL draft guru? Make your best picks and take part in the mock draft contest for a chance to win a pair of 2009 Patriots season tickets. To purchase tickets or to find out more information about the 2009 NFL Draft Party powered by Autotrader.com, visit GilletteStadium.com. The 2009 NFL Draft. Who will it be this year? No purchase necessary to participate in mock draft contest. For rules and alternate means of entry, please contact Patriots Events at Patriots.com.
Want to be rewarded just for shopping? At Patriot Place in Foxborough, you can be. Use your already existing Visa cards when you visit New England's most unique destination and earn points while enjoying everything Patriot Place has to offer. The points you earn from shopping, dining, and the entertainment at Patriot Place can be redeemed for amazing rewards, like free admission to the hall at Patriot Place presented by Raytheon, tickets to Gillette Stadium events, autographed Patriots merchandise, and more. The Patriot Place Rewards Program is the first of its kind. Simply enroll your existing Visa cards. There's no approval and no new card. Enrolling is easy and it's free. Register one or all of your existing Visa cards and you'll get all the benefits associated with your existing card, plus Patriot Place rewards at no extra cost. And every time you shop, you'll be entered to win a $1,000 shopping spree. Visit patriot-place.com to enroll your existing Visa cards today. Patriot Place. Everyone wins.
And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
I had a story of something that happened to me in Seattle. I had a problem in the press box bathroom. Before the game, I went in to, you know, do my business and realized there was no toilet paper. And it's only one stall, so it's not like you could even ask for help. I peeked out and there was no one in there. So I ran out with my pants down around my knees. I've got one hand holding up my pants, but waving my hand in front of the hand dispenser. That wasn't working. Then I saw this like kind of work pylon, and on top of it, sure enough, were three rolls of toilet paper. The problem is it was right by the door. So if I went for that and someone opened the door, I was screwed. But I did it, and I went for it, I grabbed it, and I ran back to the bathroom, and I made it.
Oh, no one came in?
No. Nobody came in.
Would have been much better had someone come in.
Yeah, but it was harrowing. All right, we're back here in PFW in progress, wolfing down our food, which is from Pizzeria Grando, courtesy of
Grande.
Paul Perillo.
Grande.
What?
Grande.
What did I say?
Grando.
He actually screwed up the first word, too, but I don't know exactly. Pizzeria Grando.
Pizzeria.
Grande.
Grande. Not Grando.
Whatever.
And anyway, if you go there and mention PFW, you get a free soda.
Yeah, that's true. If you go to Pizzeria Grande and mention PFW or PFW in progress or anything along those lines, they'll give you a free soda.
If you butcher us the way you butcher them.
But you have to have purchase something, right? You can't just order a soda, right?
And say PFW
in progress. I think you got to get a meatball sub parm.
Meatball sub with parm?
People are walking in. I'll have a drink. PFW in progress. Thank you very much.
All right. All right, so we're talking about free agency. We're talking about a little bit about the draft. You guys came back from the combine this week, so that's on the table as well.
We never got to in the last show, Fred, the Will Fork news either.
Okay, why don't you fill us in?
A couple of weeks ago, I think he spoke to the Globe and was sort of unhappy with the fact that there was no talks, no movement in his extension negotiations. And then over the combine weekend, John Tomasi again, who was down in Florida for spring training, got some quotes from Vince saying that, in fact, talks have started up and that they appear to be going in a positive direction. And he had very good things to say, was predicting that, you know, he might be a Patriot for life and all that sort of thing. So some good developments on the Vince Wilfork front. So we'll have to see how that continues. It's still very, very early in the process, but things are starting to move according to Vince.
Well, what's Wilfork's cap number this year without a new deal?
That's a good question.
It can't be very high.
Can't be, because he's still on his rookie contract.
Right.
In the last year.
It says he has 1 year remaining on a 6-year, $9 million rookie deal.
Okay, so.
So it's
$1 million.
Yeah. Around there.
So, all right, because I was thinking if they were to re-sign him work it out so that his cap number is minimal year, they could clear a little bit of space.
They don't have a ton of
big space stuff.
My guess is
a clear space.
If they sign him, my guess is his cap number goes up.
Right. Probably.
What if they talk to Brady and say, look, Tom, we want you to retire as a Patriot. Let's redo you now.
But how do you do that with the uncertainty of the CBA?
Yeah.
Well, who cares? I mean, what do you need to know about the CBA?
What the rules are going to be.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be signing Brady to a 6-year, $75 million contract or more.
Yeah.
That's a long deal with a lot of money, and the rules of the next CBA could
drastically... But the rules don't prohibit you from signing a contract longer than that. I mean,
no, they don't, but
the rules could change.
Well, yeah, but it might change as how the salary cap works and all that stuff. But
right. And the way that contract is structured now could affect the way you are able to structure contracts later.
Yeah, but regardless, you're going to end up paying – if you want him to retire a Patriot, you're going to end up paying him a lot of money. But this way, maybe now he doesn't count $14 million on the cap this year. Maybe he counts $3 million.
Sure.
It's possible, sure. I mean, but
– A couple of things with that, though. Number one, is this really the best time for the Patriots to want to do that moving forward?
I would say no. I'd say maybe wait a year and see.
Given the theory that you're keeping Castle as insurance that Brady's done?
Let's see how he plays when he's on the field.
Number two, you continue to restructure and rework Brady's deal, and you're pushing it off and pushing off. At some point, you got to pay it.
There's going to be a point of no return at some point.
Yeah.
No, I understand. But I'm just saying that's a possibility. And then if things backfire with Castle, now you can still do stuff in free agency, even though you have both quarterbacks.
Well, I think they have a little bit of money to work with in free agency to start with. I mean, what was the number, Paul?
127.
I believe they had $6 million at last report. You add $4 million to that because they just raised the cap $4 million. You have $10 million to start with.
They certainly have enough money to do their style of free agency. Well, I mean, let's face it, Adalis Thomas is out of the norm for them.
But if you have $10 million on the books right now, you can sign Adalis Thomas.
No, what I'm saying is that year they went out and they signed.
No, I know, but I'm saying you could sign virtually any player and his cap number is not going to be bigger than $10 million in year one.
Oh, I agree.
And then you do whatever you need to do down the road to change it. But to actually start free agency, if you wanted to sign a guy to a lot of money tonight, I think you have the money.
I agree with that. I just think that generally that hasn't been their way. Now, they always say it's dependent on whatever's available and
a lot of
all
factors,
that stuff.
Paul.
Yeah. We'll see what happens this year and what they think of this class. I'm not, you know, we're not privy to what their evaluations are in terms of all the available talent.
Do teams usually cut guys as early as they did this year? It seems like there were a lot of, you know, guys getting cut right away. Is that always happening?
I think it starts when the waiver period opens in mid-February. I don't know what that means.
No, you don't.
Neither do you.
But do you think, I mean, because it just seems to me like there's been a little bit more early cuts than in years past.
Maybe some bigger names, but.
There may be something to that, Fred, in that you no longer get the June 1st. Well, no, I shouldn't say you no longer. This year, you don't get the June 1st benefit.
Right.
By waiting, because it doesn't matter. You can't split it over 2 years because next year right now is an uncapped year.
Mm-hmm.
So everything on a cap hit comes now, so there's no sense of waiting, and maybe that's why they all have come before free agency, so everybody can get them their house in order now.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking.
And there are some, you know, really big
names.
I'm
sure it was.
Right,
I could tell.
What's that, Eric?
I was just saying, you know, I think it seems that way, too, because there are a lot more big names out there now than as opposed to in June
right.
when it happened before. Like,
yep.
like
part of it has been organizational turnover, too. Some of these big names are coming from places where, well, in Tampa and Denver, young coaches yeah. and GMs are cleaning house.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not going to wait. They're going to get it done.
Yeah. Another good point. Let's get to some emails. Webradio@pages.com. That's webradio@pages.com, 508-543-7482. Fred writes in, and he says he'd like to get our thoughts on the following trade. Castle to the Jets for Vernon Golston in their second round this year.
I'll take it.
Who? Jets or Patriots?
Oh, I always speak from a Patriots perspective.
You would do that for the Patriots.
You really don't know us very well, do you?
So you would trade Castle for Vernon Golston and a second rounder?
Yeah.
Would the Jets do it?
They probably couldn't because of the cap hit
for
Golston.
I don't think they would.
Right. Yeah.
I don't think they would.
That would be a big cap hit.
I mean, Golston was the sixth pick last year. He's probably got a significant bonus, and that would come, you know, 5 years' worth of a bonus hit right up.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think they could do that.
Fred says if the Jets are moving to a 4-3 defense, perhaps that Golston doesn't fit well in that system, even if he hasn't proven anything in the 3-4 and may be suited to a trade. But Paul's point is a good one. He's a top six pick. He probably had a pretty big signing bonus. Yeah.
If I don't,
it would also be the opposite, too, because people thought he could play in the 4-3.
Right, right.
They didn't know if he could play in the 3-4. So if they're going back to a 4-3, which I don't know what Rex Ryan plans on doing with the
Jets. It's
going
to be multiple. I mean, but didn't Rex Ryan speak out against Vernon Golston last year? Didn't he have some comments that kind of got overblown about how he didn't think he was very good and was getting overrated? I believe he did.
During the draft or once he started
before
playing?
The draft? I thought he had some comments that, you know, everybody was kind of falling in line on the Vernon Golston bandwagon, including myself. I thought he was one who kind of spoke the other side of that.
Fred also says, like a true Patriot fan, he goes, another trade that we could consider is Castle for Peppers, but he says if Castle's stock is declining, we might consider it.
Oh. Pretty bad when Fred is mocking Patriots fans.
All right, let's see. Rob, from
Mike Reese, by the way, last Thursday got a kick out of the Peppers for Castle straight up thing, and he was waiting. Right, he had just called in, and we were going over one of those trade proposals, and I said, if I could get that, I would do it so quick before Carolina realized they were trading Julius Peppers for a backup quarterback. And Mike came on right then, and he was just laughing. He was like, Julius Peppers for Matt Castle, straight up. Yeah, that's a lot of people want to do that.
And even more ridiculous.
Count me among that group, by the way. Some, I would do that.
Some that are even more ridiculous than that, Paul. You've seen an SPFW.
How much more would you give Carolina in addition to Castle for Peppers? We have 2 second-round picks. You give them
maybe a second.
You give them a second?
Give them a second.
Now, would that Carolina think about doing it then?
I'm still torn, though, because I'm not in love of overpaying to get Peppers when I don't know how good he's going to be in the 3-4.
Okay.
Because you're going to have to pay him the $60 million that somebody's looking to pay Castle.
Right.
All right. Since we're playing Maple Leaf, let's do this trade under the premise that if Bill is interested in doing it, he knows that he can use him. He knows how he can use him.
Yep.
So let's take away some of it. I mean, it's make believe. You can't do it. It's
then I would do it.
Then yeah.
But for what? How much
my
more?
Primary.
I'd do the second.
Oh yeah, I would do a second. I'll be honest with you. I might consider the throw in the first.
Well, I was just going to say if they demand the first.
First and Castle for Peppers.
Because.
Plus, you got to pay him all that money. That's a lot.
Now he's bringing reality back into this. A minute ago, it was just a fun make believe world.
I wouldn't do the first. I'd do the
second.
That's
how I roll, baby.
All right, let's see.
Because it gets back to also, I don't know what Castle's worth. Like, I can pretend I know what he's worth, and I can say, oh, I want a one.
Yeah.
But what if he's really, his high end is a two? Well, now I'm trading a first-round pick and the value of a second-round pick in Castle for Julius Peppers. I'm pretty sure if Bill knows he's good in his scheme, Bill's going to use Julius Peppers to get 15 sacks next year, and this defense will look totally different, even if they don't get another single corner.
Yep.
Because he is a off-the-edge speed rusher. And tight end. Vrabel won't have to do so much tight end, too.
When's the last time we've had a legitimate, and I don't include Andre Willie McGinnis in that.
Andre Tippett.
You think so?
Yep.
That's the last time?
Yeah.
Rob from Australia, just thought I'd let you guys know you did a great job on covering the draft. However, I'm starting to get a bit concerned with some of the names that are being thrown out there by several draft experts as to who the Patriots will draft with their first pick. Names like Clint Sintem and Cody Brown are a big reach for the first round if you see their game tapes. Does anybody else cringe when people compare Cody Brown to Mike Vrabel? But I think he means
Connor Barwin.
Connor Barwin to Mike Vrabel.
Does anybody cringe?
I don't want to draft a guy in the first round that has no burst off the edge, lacks any pass rushing moves, and didn't get mentioned once in their bowl game. Next, we will hear he compares well with Aaron Campman or Patrick Kearney.
Wow.
Anyways,
harsh.
To at least stem the flow of some of these worrying predictions, here is a high-quality link to the 87 Prospects game tape highlight reels. Hopefully it helps. Some of the footage shows good, bad play by the prospect, and some of the top prospects have 10 to 15 minutes of footage, and okay. It's on YouTube.
I have to hit and run now, but here's the thing. That email just brought up something that I thought was kind of interesting. Knowing what you know now, let's continue our little make believe thing, Andy. Knowing what you know now, he just brought up three names, Mike Vrabel, Aaron Campman, Patrick Kearney. He seems to be saying, if you're comparing to those guys, there's no way you should be considered a first-round pick. Would you commit a first-round pick to Mike Vrabel if you knew what he was going to do for the next, you know, whatever he's done the last 11 years? Would you commit a first-round pick to Aaron Campman? Would you, for Patrick Kearney? I mean, those guys have been pretty solid players for
good, not great first-round picks. You don't go, wow, but.
But 23.
But certainly, not a bust first-round
pick. We're picking 23. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah. Yes.
Right.
I think there's got to be a lot of players picked from 20 to 30 over the last 10 years that didn't have as good a career as those three guys.
Yeah.
I think people start, they think about the draft and they just get these stars in their eyes. That, you know.
Well, you should. You should have hope that your
team's
going to get
players,
a stud.
Based on the tone of that email, are very underrated players, according to that guy.
But you're looking for solid football players that are going to contribute a lot of plays, a lot of reps for a good amount of time.
Well, at 23. At three, I'm looking for
immediate impact starter.
Yeah.
Now yours is doing it.
I think it's the static electricity from that sweater whenever he moves around.
Luckily he's leaving.
I got to go participate in the worst radio show in America.
All right, Paul has to go.
Well, it won't be till only on there. Thursdays.
Anyway, Rob says, and Andy, this tape will show you Laurinaitis being a pile jumper. He is useless. Search Everett Brown within the channel. Hopefully Two Gender or Fred can do this for you. And you will forget about Brian Arakpo. However, I really like Arakpo. It's just Brown is the next DeMarcus Ware. Keep up the great chat. I've listened to every show for the past 3.5 years.
Well, thank you. We
like Everett Brown, too.
We are a week away from getting all of our tape, supposedly. Yeah. And I'm very much looking forward to getting to see some of that.
Then we'll really be able to give you better.
I think I'm on the record. I'm not in love with him, but I think he's going to be a pretty good NFL football player.
Yeah.
And
he did well at the combine in front of us.
Well, more than that,
you know,
he did well over the last 3 years at Ohio State.
Yeah, no.
I think he's one of those guys that's just productive. Now, he might not be a game changer, but I think he's going to start for an NFL team for the next decade if he doesn't get hurt. And my only question would be that I've seen some links to him maybe at 23. Do you want two inside linebackers back-to-back years? Is that the best use of need versus value on the board and all that? I don't know. I think maybe you could plug a lesser player next to Mayo and be okay.
I'm looking for a little speed, defensive backfield.
Okay, because Laurinaitis is not all that fast.
Yeah.
He's not a speed-based
You
guy.
Want a corner right now, Fred.
I want somebody in the defensive backfield. I think.
What about a pass rushing defensive
end? Those are the
outside
two.
Linebacker. I want one of those.
Yeah, I'll go for that, too. Yeah,
that or a corner.
I don't want an outside linebacker. I want an edge rusher.
Right.
I don't want a guy that can do – I want a guy that I go, whoa.
I know, but
you know what,
Bethel
James
Johnson,
Harrison.
The specialist, doesn't do well in the Patriots system.
You want James Harrison.
You don't want a pass rush specialist because they're not going to fit in.
Well, the guys that fit in aren't getting to the passer enough.
Yeah.
You want a James Harrison.
Yeah. I want a guy. Bethel Johnson, when he touched kickoffs, you went, wow. I want to say wow on the snap of the ball with how fast I watched the guy get shot out of a cannon.
Right, right.
I don't think they have a guy on the roster that has that ability, that even if they wanted to.
2G, someone on the phone? Who?
Jamie in Houston.
Oh, Jamie, how you doing?
Completed as dialed. You need additional digits to complete your call.
What's going on? What?
He must have hung up.
Oh, my God.
Dan, what are you doing?
What happened?
How is it my fault?
It's always your fault.
He didn't hang up because the phone was still. You would hear a dial tone, wouldn't you?
Unless he was calling collect. No. Or, I mean, he was using a payphone.
But I don't listen to him while he's on the line hanging on.
He was at a payphone at some
point. By the way, it's always your fault because when I know for a fact it's your fault, you deny that it's your fault. And then when I'm not sure, you deny it. So I just assume you always just deny it.
He's calling back.
The phone's ringing again.
I mean, he
anyway.
Plays Jamie's a Revs ad in the middle of the thing and goes, did you guys really hear that?
Having a bad day.
Quickly, Damien from Pasadena wants to know what the name of Mike Vrabel's children's book is.
The Pickle Party.
It's The Hog Mollies and the Pickle Pie Party.
The Hog Mollies in the Pickle Pie Party.
Yeah.
Eric's memorized the pickle.
I wrote the story about the different thing.
Can you Google it?
I don't know.
Is it available for purchase or only
it
for
is
donation?
Now. No, it's available for purchase.
They donated a boatload to schools, correct?
Yeah, when they launched the book, they
What's
donated a bunch. I don't know.
It's supposed to be a series, the Hog
Mollies.
It's
supposed to be
right?
a series, yeah.
Else.
Yep. They're supposed to be working
Ooh,
on
what's next?
Like a Halloween one. Maybe
the
Christmas,
Jack-o'-lantern,
all kinds of things. Who knows?
I won't say what I was going to say.
I know what you were going to say.
Rhymes with back off.
another caller. It's not.
It's not Jamie from Houston.
It's not Jamie, but it's Steve in New Hampshire. Steve, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good. Steve.
Hey, a couple of things. Just curious. You know, who you gut instinct definitely going to save in restricted free agency. And then one thing that I'm wondering about, people are talking about, you know, secondary, whatever. Just my personal opinion, I feel, I don't know, I got a gut instinct. I like Will Height. I like Wheatley. I like Merriweather. I think we're okay. I don't think it's an emergency. Some people do. I'm hoping Rodney's coming back. So you guys can discuss that. But the other thing is I just thought of, and I don't know why, I'm just daydreaming thinking about it. You know how you do a little contest maybe on the website?
Yeah.
Gut instinct from people, how you did the list, you did your best quarterback.
Sure, yeah.
Why don't we do, like, take last year's roster and just do a who we think will be here and who we don't, just for yucks, just to see what the fan base comes up with. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why. I was just thinking about that. But my gut, honestly, secondary-wise, I want to know what you guys think about the rookies. I like them. I just do. For some reason, I got gut feeling.
Yeah, we like them too. We like them too, Steve. What we're saying is, if we can get another Asante Samuel type, Champ Bailey. If we think we have the next Champ Bailey, when it's our turn to pick, we got to take him.
Well, yeah, no, I understand that, but I mean, just and I don't remember exactly, but when we got Asante, was he
fourth round
that
pick.
Good? His first year?
No.
I would say he was Jonathan Wilhite.
He contributed, and he had a few
like
interceptions.
A Wilhite?
He was a Wilhite. We saw some plays in camp. Yep. Then we saw him getting some reps.
He just kept getting better.
The one thing we saw, he was very physical and around the football in his first training camp from almost day one.
And he played, I think he was a nickel guy at the time.
He was Wilhite. I mean, Wilhite saw early action last year.
Yeah.
I mean, we saw some good things in camp.
We saw things from Samuel, though, that were sort of precursors to what he was going to become. I believe he picked off, I think it was Testaverde in the Jets game, took it back for a touchdown.
Yeah.
He had a couple of plays like that where you could see the potential, and he grew into that potential big time, but probably bigger than anybody even thought.
But yeah. I agree that Wilhite is on course to be a developmental guy that could surprise us.
And, like, I mean, even, like, Merriweather, too. Don't you think he had a spectacular year?
No.
He had a much better year than his
rookie
year.
I think he had a spectacular
year. Maybe not spectacular, but he had a good, good year.
He made progress from his rookie year, yes.
I think he had an okay year. I think his tackling was terrible.
That's the one area that
I think all those guys are complementary players. I think they're only going to be as good as the other guys around them.
Around them?
Well, yeah. I mean, if Will Height becomes Samuel, then no. I don't
think
it's ridiculous. Asante Samuel was a stud.
Could go either way with that, Steve.
What?
Yeah.
He said, is James Sanders staying? I think it could go either way.
I think
way.
He stays.
Do you guys want him to stay?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd like to see him
I do, too. I think you're in Laurie Malloy's number. I like him.
I like him a lot. I think he's a solid football player. He's not spectacular. He's certainly a complimentary piece to the puzzle.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I think he's a good, solid piece to that puzzle. But Fred's right. What they lack is
a legitimate playmaker, a difference maker in the secondary. Maybe you're right. Maybe Merriweather, another jump this offseason.
Or even Will Height. Somebody's going to.
Yeah. Or,
I don't know. I got a gut feeling somebody's going to step up.
Or Will Height. Wheatley, I don't have any idea what he is. I give him kind of an incomplete. I don't really have a vibe from him. I don't think he can't, but I don't think he can.
We thought that he might be a starter right off the bat. He fell off.
Yeah.
You know, the edge of the world. Then he started getting reps back. You know, mostly because of injury, but you know, some of the you know, I think Belichick actually said, you know, he did start playing better.
Right.
And then he got hurt. So we just don't know. We just don't know.
I don't know. I got a gut feeling these guys are, you know, they're going to work out, and I think we'll get a surprise in the draft. And but I was curious, you know, what do you guys think about, you know, the restricted free agents? Who's going to stay here? And I'll let you guys talk. Good talking to you.
All right.
Take care,
Steve in New Hampshire.
Pierre Woods is a three-man class. Pierre Woods, Britt, and Eric Alexander. Woods is obviously the best of that class because he started to get in the rotation. He was the primary backup. Then he started. Then he broke his jaw and was gone. I think he'll get the second level tender, one of those mid tenders, and I think he'll be back. You know, unless somebody Tully Bantacanes him and thinks he can be a stud starter for him. The other two,
dime a dozen.
Yeah, I mean, Eric Alexander, to me, they may not even pursue because you brought Tully Bantacanes back as a backup linebacker slash.
Yep.
The one thing Alexander has, he's an inside guy. He's never played. He's never.
Right.
He was one of those LSU guys that, like, the first preseason made a lot of tackles, and we were like, wow. And that was certainly a case of he knew the system maybe better than others because he'd been at LSU with Saban and has not really developed since. Special teamer, always hurt. And Britt, he couldn't
Britt
even
looked
be
like he was
going to
be a
year.
Starter last year in
yeah,
training
and
camp
then wasn't
and
even
then
active.
Wasn't active for most of the season.
I think he's kind of played out the string.
Theo in Jersey says.
Huxtable?
I don't know. But he says, hey, guys, and Eric.
Need to laugh that hard.
No, no, no. He just said, hey, guys, and Eric.
Oh.
So you actually got.
Did he really say that?
No. He misspoke, but you ended up.
I ended up being the recipient of something better.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, no, that's not to say gay or not gay. One is better than the other.
No, but one is not true, Andy.
Oh, you know what? I need to. What?
One is not true.
I need to say something very serious right now, Eric.
You're going
to
talk about the Ken Flanders thing?
No.
Come
that's
on.
Not serious. Eric did a very good job at the combine.
Did he?
Like, we like to pigeonhole him as the sensitive artist and our little feature writer, and he does a good job with that. I thought he did a very good job at the combine in a busy environment, blogging, writing, football prospects, news and notes. I thought Eric did a very good job, and he deserves praise for the week in Indy.
So he picked up your slack.
No, there was no slack because he wasn't there with Paul Perillo. If he were there with Paul Perillo, there would have been slack, but Eric and I tag-teamed the web and the blog like you wouldn't believe.
When Paul Perillo's there, there's no slack in those slacks.
No, there's not. Thank you, Andy.
No problem, Eric.
Theo says, I've been a long-time listener, but first-time emailer. I just want to say what a wonderful job you guys did in all aspects of Patriots media coverage. My question is regarding some of the players who are being released from other teams that the Patriots might be able to pick up cheap, like Brad Castle of the Jets as a veteran to put next to Mayo as a rotational guy with Bruschi, Hunter Smith, who is not resigning with the Colts until he has to test the market. I think he's a good punter based on his stats. Drayton Florence seems like a good corner, but is he getting up there in years? Maybe Justin McCarron's as a third receiver. He seemed decent this season, and he would be a good mid-range threat. And finally, how about bringing in Igor Oshlansky and converting him to an outside linebacker? I mean, he could drop a few pounds, maybe be the edge rusher.
He's a big dude.
I was just wondering what your thoughts are on these guys and their possibilities.
I like Igor.
Yeah, but I don't know about shedding pounds.
I think
I like him as
a
lineman.
Mike Wright, versatile backup lineman.
Yeah.
I think he could actually play the nose here.
I don't know if he's that big.
I'm not sure he's big enough, but Mike Wright's not big enough.
Yeah,
and he plays it sometimes.
Definitely couldn't be an edge rusher, though.
Yeah, nah, I like Igor for this. I think he's a 3-4 kind of player, obviously, coming from San Diego, but I wouldn't mind seeing him. I mean, he fell out of favor there for some reason. He went from, like, starter to, I don't know if he was inactive, but he fell out of favor.
Did
with
he get him. In A.J. Smith's doghouse?
Well, no. My guess is, based on the timing, Ted Cottrell started the year as coordinator, then got axed.
Right.
Rivera came in, and somewhere in the coaching changes,
oh.
Rivera the system didn't like him, didn't want him, whatever.
What about McCarron's, Justin McCarron?
Well, that's not bad, but as we mentioned earlier, when Coles got released by the Jets, or it looks like that relationship's going to be over, I would bump Coles up to the top of that spot at wide receiver.
Drew Bennett is another guy, I believe, that is available now. I'm just going through, I mean, better or worse than Jabbar Gaffney.
I mean, we're not talking about the obvious one here either.
Together.
Hushman Zada.
But yeah, I don't think they have any chance of going in that direction.
That could be something up their sleeve, though, Fred, no?
Could be.
I agree with Paul. He's overrated.
No, but as a number two,
Hushmanzada?
Number three guy here?
I don't know why you guys say
overrated
that.
Overrated possession receiver.
Well, I think Paul overrates all quote-unquote possession receivers.
Do you think he's looking,
I don't think he likes...
He underrates them. He thinks they stink.
Well, he thinks they're all overrated.
Do you think he's looking for a number one spot, Hushmanzada? Is he looking to go somewhere where he's the guy?
Not necessarily.
No.
So this wouldn't be out of the question for him to come here.
Not for him. No.
Right.
Well, be a three here.
But I'm saying he wouldn't be averse to going to an offense that could win a title.
No.
He's not looking to be like the next.
He's never been that guy, and I don't get the feeling
that he doesn't want to be. He wants to be a component on a winning team.
I'm not even. I don't. I think money might be the big thing to him right now.
Yeah, I think he
championship.
Yep. I don't like him.
Let's see. Mikey Ooh. Vandalism. Yeah. Has an audio? Are we? Are you able to play that?
Yeah, it's a little long though.
That's what How long? Said.
Is it too long to play?
We can play it. We can cut him off.
Okay.
Though, if you want to.
Let's hear Mikey Vandalism. His audio MP3.
What's up, guys? At PFW in Progress. This is Mikey Vandalism coming to you from East Haven, Connecticut, with premium audio quality technology.
I love it. That hurt
and
my
this
ears.
This week, I have a few questions and a few comments, so we'll start off with the comments. Mike Reese was on the show last week. It was great to have him. It was excellent hearing
like
his thoughts on the New England Patriots, as it always is. And he actually has a very nice piece on the Boston Globe that touches on the Patriots offseason overview. And it just talks about the Castle situation and some of the biggest holes that need to be filled on offense and defense. Talks about the draft and free agency. And
what are we promoting, Mike Reese?
Poll that has all different possible scenarios for each situation. So it'd be kind of cool for you guys to go check it out. I'll include a link in the email, so make sure you look at
it. We already did. Move on. Get off Mike
Reese. It'd be nice to get some feedback on that.
Move on.
But my question is, what's the deal with Fred Taylor? I knew that he met up with the New England Patriots a few days ago, but we really haven't heard anything. He also met with the Bills. So where do you think would be a better fit, here in New England? Or with the Bills.
Here in New York.
I know in an interview during the week, he mentioned that he would like a Super Bowl ring, so that might
so it's
be
not
a
the Bills.
Nice indicator or clue that he'd like to come here to New England, considering the Bills have no shot. So what are your thoughts on that, guys? Mikey V on out.
All right. That's not bad.
Well done. He's got the best technology by far.
Yeah, but you know what, Jason from Chiba, I hate to say it, but Jason from Chiba brought it more.
Well, we got a Jason one coming up, too.
The other one he had the other day, he brought
it more. I think Mikey Vandalism brings it with a premium.
Yeah,
we got a Jason file coming up, but also, who is
Fred
this?
Taylor will be a Patriot, that's what I'm saying.
I think you're right.
You getting that vibe, Fred?
Somebody writes in, I think it might be Chris from Connecticut, but he says, I'm as big a fan as anyone of Mikey Vandalism and his premium MP3 cast. But just a quick shout out to whomever sent in the Stephen Hawking MP3. Genius.
Yeah.
That should be played every now and then just for kicks.
That was funny.
And with apologies to Eric for bringing it up, so to speak, but everyone should go see Milk. It's excellent.
Just shut up.
I haven't seen that, but
I don't get the joke when you try
You don't need to worry about it.
I didn't hear the Stephen Hawking MP3. Do you have that, 2G?
Of course not.
No.
Him capable of
when was that?
Getting
when I was
last week.
Was it good?
It was funny. It was just it was one of those.
I'll try to find
where,
it.
You know, like if you can record your voice so it sounds like sort of like a metallic robotic thing.
Right, right.
He did one of those things and sent it in. So
bad. Did you hear the English kid?
The 4-year-old kid.
There was a 4-year-old from England.
I have both.
Yeah.
Oh, let's hear him.
The 4-year-old from England's good.
Oh yeah.
Hello guys, I'm two gender. Stephen Hawking's here. I'm utilizing the MP3 function to send you a question. Do you think the Patriots would trade Castle and a pick to get Gonzalez and Johnson from KC? If so, what would be the highest pick? I was thinking a third rounder at the most. Your thoughts? Oh yes, and Brett Favre sucks ass. I am. No. formal maths training.
That's good. Good stuff.
Yeah. Then this four-year-old.
The four-year-old's good.
Four-year-old British kid.
You got it?
We had to listen to it about three times before we could understand what he was saying, but
F is a multisyllable letter.
Have you ever said...
Hello, guys. I'm Eric. I love BMW in progress. And I'm only four.
That's
go
good.
Pats.
Go Pats.
I love the dramatic
PFW
pauses in between.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, my guess is that may have had to have been edited together.
That's great. Did you guys ever see that video that's online? It's called The Landlord. And it's
yes.
with Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell and the little girl?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Funny.
Really funny. That reminds me of that.
Is Fred Taylor going to be a Patriot, Fred?
I don't know. I would. I don't know.
You mean you're not just dying to see Taylor on the back of a Patriots jersey?
I want to see Fred Taylor
he's
here.
He's a Hall of Famer.
You think so?
Maybe.
Mm. But a year here and a ring here, he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I wouldn't put him in the Hall of Fame. He's just too many injuries.
Yeah, I wouldn't put him in the Hall of Fame either.
But he might eat a year or two here. I'd like to see him in the backfield this year.
Yeah.
I think he'd be a nice addition.
Oh, yeah.
Great. Perfect fit.
Although I kind of feel bad for Sammy Morris.
They would split carries.
I know, but Sammy Morris has done a really nice job. I wouldn't mind seeing him get a chance to be the starter. I don't think he can be, but
the way they do it here.
Yeah, but remember last year they had five guys were like, how are they all going to do it? And it turned out they needed every one of
them. Game planning, injuries.
Right down to Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis.
He'd be fine.
You know?
Sammy's happy where he is.
I like Sammy.
He's a good guy.
But, yeah, I think Fred Taylor would be a Patriot. That's good for jersey sales. That would be a guy that would sell a few jerseys.
Oh, yeah.
Not a ton. Ken Flanders, don't go overboard and order like 10 gross. But he would sell a few jerseys.
Brian writes in and says, Paul heads the all-time what the F club. Sage Rosenfels, really? What is it you liked about his performances last year? He's a marginal bench player in fantasy football, and you would prefer to have him running your team over Matt Cassel? The dude is a turnover machine. Last year, he turned the ball over 14 times in six games. And in 07, he gave it away 16 times in nine games. He does have a strong arm and isn't afraid to heave the ball up to Andre Johnson, Kevin Walter, and Owen Daniels, who I would take over Moss, Gaffney, and Watson. Hey, I have to throw something in there to get Fred yelling at me, too. But he just doesn't take care of the ball. Yes, Houston's O-line isn't that great, but if he was better than Cassel, he shouldn't be making the same mistakes Cassel did earlier in the year and found a way to get the ball out of harm's way. He has been in the league for 7 years with seven starts and 26 games played, actually 32, but six of those with minimal play. I am not saying Cassel is a sure bet to become an upper echelon starter in the NFL, but he has shown more patience and a greater ability to read NFL defenses in his one season of play. Rosenfels plays like he has a big S on his shirt and needs to be a superhero when he steps in the field. This trade spells the end for Ferrat, which is a good thing, but I also think it spells the end for Childress and possibly any hopes for a new stadium in Minneapolis. How does the Los Angeles Vikings sound? Ziggy has to get his money out of his poor investment somehow.
Sounds terrible.
Yeah,
they
I
have
wouldn't
to
want
change
the Vikings
the name.
There.
I don't care about the team. They'd have to change the name. The L.A. Vikings? I don't like it.
But Brian ends up, he says, otherwise,
same
Paul...
Same color scheme as the Lakers, though, so it would kind of work.
Yeah.
But no, I wouldn't. I don't.
Otherwise, Paul's great solo show and had a great solo show, and thanks for keeping things real on EEI. Paul keeps it real on EEI.
Real boring, maybe.
Oh. I think we all will agree to disagree on this one, but one thing we can agree on is Bledsoe. He's no Hall of Famer, but he did a lot for the Patriots franchise. One more thing. Pardon the subject of the email. But with the popularity of the show, if you don't put catchy wording in there, two gender doesn't get to have his Beavis and Butthead ha-ha-ha moment, and he won't pass them along. Oh, I guess...
What was the subject?
I guess the Paul heads the all-time what the F club. I don't know. Now, Chuji doesn't pass him along.
We get him directly.
Fred is the one that blows the job reading emails.
There is no filter here.
No, there's no filter.
There's no filter here. Chuji's on the phone.
Uh-oh.
He's working his side gig as, like, what is it, company ad manager or something?
Yeah, he's selling some ads right now.
Doubt that.
Let's see. TC in West Springfield says two trades to look for. Cassel to KC for second rounder and swap mid-round picks. Seymour in mid-round draft choices to Carolina for Peppers. We never really thought about putting Seymour into the equation there.
No, but
that's intriguing. That
would be more of a straight-up trade than Cassel.
But that would fall under the ESPN, the magazine report that Peppers is going to play end?
Because
you're trading away your starting defensive end, and now you're going to put Mike Wright in the lineup?
Well,
or?
Then you draft somebody
well, then
high.
Then you draft somebody else to fill that spot. Or you put Jarvis Green in there.
Yeah.
Mike Wright, whatever, whoever you think is better fit.
Seymour and a pick for Julius Peppers. Now, they'd have the issue there of Seymour coming to the end of his contract, so they'd have to sign him to a deal probably because they don't want to trade
closer to home.
He's definitely closer to home.
A good respect. I mean, you're getting not quite star power for star power, but if you're trading Peppers, you're getting
a
proven all-pro player back.
Yes.
That's one of the more...
That's at least a realistic one.
And a new one. I have
a
new
one. It would be great if there was more of those types of trades in the NFL. There just aren't enough.
Maybe there will be.
Let's see. Jason in Chiba has a file, and he's mad because he says, you guys really think a guy who calls himself Vandalism is better than me?
I gave you props, Jason.
Can we hear Jason's?
Hi again, Cork Soakers and Eric with a K. I've got two items and two items only.
Good.
Andy, sorry. I may have overstated the mindness of my computer. Actually, it's my Japanese girlfriend, so... Yeah, Japanese. Shogunai, as they say.
Oh, Shogunai.
Oh, and to be clear, Mike Vandalism can't carry my jock. In fact, the following people can't carry my jock. Premium. That is all. R.I.P. Bill Hicks. I'm out.
Yeah, I think Mikey Vandalism's better.
Mikey Vandalism is the premium guy, right?
Yeah.
So he was just taking a shot at Mikey Vandalism.
Yeah.
Premium.
But that was Jason and Sheba.
Well, using his Japanese girlfriend's computer again.
Andy said of the three, Pierre Woods, who was it, Wesley Britt and Eric Alexander would be the least likely to sign, according to Karen Garigian. Sources close to Eric Alexander, who is currently out of the country, have indicated that the linebacker and team have agreed in principle to a one-year contract with bonuses.
Andy Hart,
I believe
wrong
I said
again.
Least likely to be on the
but
team.
But then again, this could be Chris with a TIN just pulling your leg. I don't know. But anyway, says Alexander, remember the Patriots for the past four seasons, was a restricted free agent. He played in just the season opener last year, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, the report was he's out of the country at the moment.
It says the Pats could have offered a low tender at $1.01 million or not tendered him, making Alexander an unrestricted free agent. Instead, the two sides have agreed on a new one-year deal that is lower than the tender.
Yeah, which means they didn't want him. I was right here. They signed him to be a camp body for less than all the tenders.
And Mike Reese.
And he took the easy
Patriots
way.
Patriots inside linebacker Eric Alexander will not receive a restricted free agent tender for the Patriots. Instead, he's agreed in principle to a one-year deal according to a league source.
Yeah.
And he's saying it includes a minimum base salary of $620,000 in workout bonuses.
Yeah, so he'll be in camp, and if maybe they really need him, he'll make the roster. But otherwise, peace out, EA Sports.
So, all right.
So I was wrong, but I was right.
Good spin. let's see. Louie from Tampa. You have to give it to two gender. Just when Eric says his best friend met his wife online, he puts the smile of you know who. Nice.
He's referencing
something from the last show.
Eric says his best friend
the worst
met his
argument
wife
in
online.
Show history.
Yeah. Oh, the smile of you know who.
Who?
You know.
Somebody else met
his wife online.
The laugh of you know who.
In theory.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Also, Louis says, according to Paul, the franchise quarterback has to have the name, the look, in the athletics. Where does a guy like Bernie Kosar rank in those categories? So, I don't know.
I kind of agree with Paul on this.
Yeah, I'm not. If Bernie Kosar is the other example, then I'm going with Paul.
Right.
You know.
What did he win? I mean, I know he led them to the playoffs
to the
and
AFC
the fumble away from and all that, but so did a lot of other people. We didn't say all quarterbacks have to, like, be attractive and look good, but it helps when there's that total package. Like, Matt Ryan is the tall – I wouldn't say he has
– He's not, you know –
the great looks, but he has All-American boy – Yeah, I could see a grandmother somewhere taking a liking to Matt Ryan because mm-hmm. of the way he looks.
Like, now, a guy that would go against that grain a little bit, like a Jim Kelly. He was just kind of a blue-collar guy.
Well, he was almost a linebacker, too. So he's sort of, you know, he was recruited by Penn State to be a linebacker.
Was that right?
Yeah, and then he wanted to be a quarterback, so he went to Miami because he wanted to throw.
Yeah.
But so
quarterbacks
are
usually cool.
Yeah.
Jim Kelly wasn't cool.
No, he wasn't cool.
Had a bit of a drinking.
Kyle Orton doesn't fit into that role either. The shaggy beard and the long hair. He's
not up there yet. I'm talking about guys who ended up having a pretty good career, you know.
Where'd you put Bledsoe in that category?
A lot of people made
number one overall pick in the draft.
A lot of people made fun of him because they thought he looked a little like Frankenstein. But when he cleaned up, he wasn't that bad looking, you know, and he was tall and he was big and, you know.
The booze? They're saying Drew. They love me everywhere I go.
If he's not the number one quarterback, number one overall pick, does that factor into it, his looks or whatever?
What do you mean if he's not the number one quarterback?
Do you still think of him as that normal looking guy, even if he's not the quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, he came out of Washington State and he was great. You know,
he was great for a while there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he came out early, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Quick side note. I said up in the office, I made connection between Paul Perillo and Tom Coughlin.
Yeah.
He just had an NFL commercial on. He really does look like Tom Coughlin.
Coughlin's
older.
He doesn't.
Yes, he does.
No, he doesn't.
They have the same pale skin. They have the same
whitish
balding,
hair.
Whitish hair. Yep. There are similarities.
In 10 years,
between...
he's going to be Tom Coughlin.
Yes.
I could see that.
Yeah, but
he's an older Paul Perillo.
Yeah.
No,
they're both
Coughlin.
Come on,
is,
they're both angry all the time.
Yes, Coughlin works hard.
Well done, Fred. Well done.
Jacobin writes in. He has an idea for Ask PFW. He says, "As always, you're doing a great job with all the work you do. Quick question: would it be at all possible that you could make the Ask PFW section on the website downloadable as a PDF?" It would just be handy to be able to download it, and if you want to print it out, you could take it with you to read. I'm in college, so I'm always walking from class to class and not too much time to sit at a computer and read the Ask PFW.
Well, you can print it out right now.
Yeah, you can print it out now.
You just can't download
it
really, like you're on all the
class. You should be Merry reading Christmas. Your studies from class to class.
You know what we should do? An audiobook version where we will read the text of our Ask PFW so you can listen to it as a podcast.
Ooh.
That'd be funny.
Perillo's not going to be into that.
No. He's not into doing anything. He doesn't separate it into two documents like Fred told us to.
So what, does Ferreira do that for him? Because it ends up being in two...
Yeah,
two...
Paul doesn't do anything. He, a direct order from his boss, he looked at it and flipped it the bird.
Wow.
He doesn't respect you, Fred. I think you need to do something about that.
I resign.
Accept that resignation.
Ethan in Delaware writes in, "Hey, guys, and Eric, first a big shout-out to Paul for an outstanding show last Thursday. I'm confident in predicting a Marconi Award for that one."
Oh, God.
"Anyway, I have tried to avoid the Matt Cassel trade possibility merry-go-round, but figured with free agency about to open, I might as well throw in a few trade possibilities and get your opinions. I sincerely promise to use the same sort of rational analysis I have seen in so many of the trade proposals put forth so far. Let's see. First scenario, trade Cassel to the Giants for a first-round pick in Plaxico Burress. I know the Giants have already have Eli, but the guy is a Manning, so is automatically overrated, and they would want to upgrade. I am not worried about Burress, as he would clearly become a model citizen as soon as he entered the warm glow of the Patriots locker room.
Have another candidate for Matt Light's charity shooting contest.
His second scenario is trade Cassel to the Chargers for Tomlinson, Sean Phillips, and a first-round pick. Sure, Rivers has had some good games, but come on, he rode the pine for 2 years behind Drew Brees, which is far worse than 3 years behind Brady. The trade would clearly strengthen a fire playoff rival, but I think Bill could figure out how to use the pittance we would be getting in return to figure something out." He's being sarcastic.
No.
Third scenario, trade Cassel to the 1999 Saints for all their draft picks. We already know Ditka was willing away an entire draft for one guy, so why not have that guy be Matt Cassel?
That's the best one.
I know there will be some issues with the salary, given the cap was much lower 10 years ago, and the whole trading into the past is always tricky. But for the potential Cassel would bring to the table, I'm sure something could be worked out.
But he could never back up Tom Brady if he were with the Saints in 99.
Yeah, but you do that whole time travel thing, and then all everything's different at that
point.
But
it's the butterfly. Now Tom Brady won't be Tom Brady.
Well, I know.
He says, is this really that much less likely than Castle to the Lions for Calvin Johnson in the third?
I actually find it far more interesting.
The last scenario is Castle to the Lions for the Lions' second rounder this year and a conditional pick next year.
Like
something
it.
Along the lines of the conditions for the Favre trade last year, where it became a first if the Lions go to the playoffs.
I'd like the first this year.
Well, I have no problem with the second and a conditional, but I don't know if I'm willing to make the conditions to get a first-round pick as high as they have to make the playoffs for an 0-16 football team.
Yeah. Get to 500.
Yeah, maybe
500.
Something
get to
like
500.
That. If
yeah.
he starts X amount of games and they win, you know, if they're a 500 football team in his starts or something.
Yep. All right, webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482.
I love how you look all around while you're talking, so it never sounds the same.
It's the phone number. Nick in Hawaii says, it's been about a year since I've called or emailed the show. But
yeah, where the hell have you been?
I haven't missed a podcast yet.
Well, good.
How many consecutive losing seasons would it take Kraft to fire Bill? I know it will never happen, but I wonder how much leeway Bill has after winning three Super Bowls.
Fred, what do you think?
How many losing three?
That's it.
Three in a row?
Yep.
If he went 7-9, 7-9, 7-9, he'd be out?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Ooh.
Unless there were some other circumstances where...
What if last year was the first year, but Castle wasn't good enough? Brady goes down, they go 7-9. That's
right.
The first of three straight 7-9
okay.
seasons. The
okay.
next two have Brady.
Yep.
He'd be out?
Well, that's a circumstance that maybe you'd give him one more year.
Can you imagine he goes two games below 500, three straight years, and he's out?
Well, I mean,
it's the bottom line business.
Yeah.
What have you?
You don't think he would get more of a leash than Shanahan got in Denver? Some people thought he should have been fired.
But Mike Shanahan
several
never had
years
three
ago.
Straight losing seasons.
No, but people felt he wore out his welcome there.
Look, if you're an owner in this league, you're saying, I'm giving you everything you can have to win. If you deliver three straight losing seasons, the red flag's going up the pole. Okay? I mean, that's the way owners think.
That's awesome. Wow. Sad, but awesome.
Yeah.
Like, it's just amazing to think. Right now, he's considered the best in the game. Potentially the best of all time.
Yeah, but if you have...
And boom, 3 years later, you're
out. My point is, unless, like I said, you can point to some crazy thing that is preventing you from winning three straight losing seasons, there's something wrong. Something is wrong, you know?
Wow.
You know, especially when you have the base that they have right now. You know, we're not talking. We're not the Detroit
I'm not
Lions.
Saying you're wrong. I'm just...
It's tough. It's not like, you know...
It's just hard to fathom three straight
losing
seasons.
We're not talking about three seasons where you miss the playoffs. We're talking about three losing seasons.
So three... What if... They missed the playoffs last year. What if they go 7-9 this year and 4-12 the year after?
I'd give them one more year. Yeah.
That's amazing. He could be a third of the way to being fired.
But he won't be because he's good.
No, I know. I don't.
And that's why you don't have to worry about it.
But it's just funny to think, like,
only
build a team for a decade where you dominate the decade.
I know, but again,
and 3, 7, and 9 years later, you're looking for work.
I know, but again, we're playing make believe.
I know.
Sure are.
You know, because this
I thought it was going to be more of a
this is a guy
5-3-win season.
This is a guy who this wouldn't happen to because he is good.
But if it did, you'd ax him.
Because
and 7-9
he wouldn't be good.
7-9 is not that
7-9
bad.
7-9 is not that bad.
In one season it isn't bad. Two seasons it isn't bad. Three seasons with the base they have here and everything they have to work with, you got to wonder what's going on. You know?
That's a good topic.
Wow.
What would it take to fire Bill Belichick?
Nick says, P.S., I'm on board with your Super Bowl win prediction, Fred, although I believe we'll win every year.
So does Fred.
So do I.
Yeah, exactly.
Fred is wrong the last 3 or 4 years, and that's why he's getting it out there early.
No, I know what's going to happen this year.
Yeah, but you're of the belief that Julius Peppers could be on the team. And yes, if Julius Peppers is on the team, I feel a lot better about your Super Bowl prediction. But if he's not, how do you still feel the same way?
Because they're going to do
they'll
things
do other
this
things.
Offseason to
they'll
improve
do other
themselves.
Things, Andy. Yeah, but if the other thing is sign Matt Chatham.
Look, without Julius Peppers, Vegas has the Patriots as the favorite now.
Right.
That's true.
You know, that's not me. That's Vegas.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know, so
hard to win in this
now season. They'll improve themselves and they'll become even more the favorite.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's hard to win. That's all I'm saying.
It sure is.
You go 18-0, and it all comes crashing down.
The Patriots are a great team. Let's see. Mike says, oh, he's from Puerto Rico. He forgot to ask if we've ever considered doing a mock draft contest. We do.
We do it every year.
Don't we do two different
in the paper.
Ones? I believe we do an online and a paper.
Can I interrupt for a second?
No.
Eric Scalavino is on the homepage of ESPN.com.
Is he? You're kidding me.
Go. Get print
a picture with Matt Stafford's there, and Eric sitting in the back with his arms crossed.
Print it.
Oh, is that the one that Ferreira used in the blog?
I don't know.
Remember I told you that Ferreira put something on the blog, and he pointed me out standing in the background?
One of the best things he's ever done.
That's the same picture?
Print that so we have a copy. A screen capture or whatever.
It'll go on our Hall of Fame wall right here.
Ferreira's was funny because he put my name and a big arrow pointing down to
my... Well, you are kind of hard to see. Like,
I can't believe
just
he found
glancing,
it.
Just glancing, you wouldn't see it.
I'm amazed that he found it.
I'm amazed he went through the work, and he did a nice job. It's unlike him.
Especially he was on his deathbed last
That's
week.
True. He nearly died. Did you hear that, Fred?
Who's that?
Ferreira?
Chris Ferreira.
Was he really sick?
He was vomiting at work and...
Puked his guts out.
Yeah, had to leave early.
Wow.
His
Food
wife.
Poisoning?
No, it's his wife.
She's sick?
Stresses. No, she's getting to him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well,
that noose is a little too tight.
Uh-oh.
You know what I'm saying?
Let's see. Dan writes in from Charlottesville, Virginia. He says that, how is it that the Dolphins are able to make a signing before free agency officially starts?
He's not a free agent. He's their own player.
He's on their team.
Signing.
But he's talking about Gabriel Wilson.
He was released by another team and is a veteran.
Oh, right. So
just like Tully Bantakane.
Right.
The guy the Patriots signed who was released by another team before free agency started.
And one draft question, Andy and Eric, what are your thoughts on Rashad Jennings from Liberty?
I like
him.
I know
the Pats may not be in the market for a young running back to be taken in the first few rounds, but do you like his potential as an NFL player in general?
Yeah, I like him.
Did you talk to him there?
No.
He wasn't available, huh?
Never saw him. But I like him, and my little theory as to how the connection, obviously they got Vince
Liberty.
Red out
Vince
of Liberty.
Red, right.
Maybe while they were down there, they did a little extra work on this guy and, you know, maybe have a better relationship than some other teams over a couple year span.
Mm-hmm.
Plus the guy from there is an Al Groh assistant, so they have trust level. That's how Vince Red got here.
Like you're thinking.
But he's just a big dude, and I want to see him play some football.
How big? Wait a minute. I got
235,
the thing right here.
Maybe?
Running back.
Six,
running back.
6'1", 235.
Hold on. Tailback, right?
Yeah. 6'1", 235. Give it to me.
Liberty. What's his name again?
Rashad Jennings. 6'1", 234. Oh! I'm off a little. Which means he probably measured in at the combine at 6'0", 228.
Josh from Arlington says, I don't know why Andy is so surprised by the idea of Belichick being fired after three straight losing seasons. He has set the bar so high, it would be hard not to think he had lost it if there were three losing seasons in a row. It makes sense.
Unless there was some sort of
mitigating
factor there. Right,
but I'm not just
questioning his getting fired. I'm questioning the fact that you have to replace him. So somebody has to be a better candidate in your mind than Belichick's previous decade of dominance. You know what I mean? Like, you have to, unless you're simply going with the one guy, one place, too long theory, like, you need to replace him. You need to have a better option.
But sometimes that is, like, with Shanahan.
I agree.
You
Shanahan's
know,
that example.
You know, is McDaniels a better head coach than Shanahan?
Oh, well, I mean, like McDaniels.
We don't know. I
He's going to be.
He might be someday. But, you know, like you said, you have to replace the guy. So is what you have better than anything that's out there? And do you stick with what you have? But sometimes the situation just becomes where you just need a change.
It's really hard to see you in this photo.
Interesting scroll that just came up. We were talking about the economy and how it's going to affect teams before. Did you see the report about the NBA looking to borrow about $175 million to help
15 teams,
some struggling franchises with their operating
the
costs?
Is get
is
a
that
loan.
Right?
Operating cost loan of 11
like 11 and a half million per team of the teams who need the help.
Wow.
Now, I'm sure it's not the Celtics and the Lakers, but Oklahoma City, I bet, is getting a check for 11 and change.
Now the NBA has a salary cap.
Yeah.
You know, but the difference here is a lot of these teams don't own the arena that they play in, so they're tenants.
Mm-hmm.
They don't a lot of them don't.
Well, Celtics don't, right? They don't own own the Garden.
I don't think that's Jeremy Jacobs. You know, but I do think that they get a cut in the concessions when they're playing. There might be some type of deal there.
I think they have a pretty bad deal.
Do they? The Celtics?
I think so.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So
I don't know specifics, but in my memory, I remember thinking they don't have a very good deal.
Yeah. So, if you know, you wonder how can a sports team, you know, because it's set. You got your tickets. You got your you have a merchandise, salary cap, right. You know.
But you have to win. I mean, that's the difference. Yeah. They are right on the line of when the Celtics are winning, they're going to make money. When they're not, right. Because of their deals, they probably won't.
But they don't have the one thing that the NFL has. They don't have that TV deal. They don't have the network national TV deal that all the teams share equally. You know, the Celtics have to make their own local deal. And they probably have a good one because they're in a good market. You know, but, you know, I don't know about Minnesota Timberwolves, what their deal's right. like, you know. Toronto Raptors.
Well, I mean, the NBA has some national TV deals.
Oh, that pay the league.
With TNT and ESPN.
Yeah,
and
but they don't pay the teams probably share in that.
Right.
But
it's like
nothing.
The NFL.
It's nothing.
Not to the degree.
Not,
right.
Nothing to the degree that the, you know.
Right.
So, let's see.
But didn't the NFL take out a loan too?
I thought that was to help teams build stadiums. Yes. No.
Well, they took out a loan.
Did they?
Remember, it was a multi-billion-dollar loan.
They refinanced a lot of their debt. Is what I heard.
Or whatever. And yeah. Initially people were like, whoa, the NFL. But then a lot of people said, well, the fact that someone's willing to give them a large loan like that
yeah.
in this time shows that they are
yeah.
on paper doing very well.
I'm not sure it was a loan as much as it was refinancing current debt. So
Same.
Yeah. Let's see. Ben says, hey, guys, Andy and 2G.
Hey.
I want to apologize for the error in
Suck
my
it,
email
Ben.
Thursday when I said Bill Belichick came to the Patriots in 01. I just started following football that year, and the 01 Super Bowl was the first Super Bowl I watched, so that was the first thing that came to mind. I realized it was wrong after I sent the email, so sorry, Andy, for being wrong. I've decided that the Andy, Eric, 2G trio is similar to the Three Stooges. Andy, or
whoop.
Is the guy who thinks he runs the show and is pretty good at insulting the others. He takes most of it out on Eric, Larry, who gets mad when Larry insults him, so he takes it out on 2G, Curly, who is actually the most competent of the three but receives all the abuse.
Oh, that's not true.
Sorry for the blaming you, Andy, but I have to admit the show wouldn't be the same without you.
Thank you.
Okay.
And the fact that you think Two Gender is the most competent of the three is an absolute embarrassment. He is the least competent person in this organization.
Wow.
Today.
In the organization?
Good job, Two Genders.
Yeah, not in the organization, but in the administration level.
Isn't it a pleasure working with him? It's just great working with him. On to football.
This reminds me of my review
Jake.
Where I got downgraded for lifts others' spirits or something.
Right. The Miami Dolphins.
Should be a motivational speaker, Andy.
The Miami Dolphins far exceeded most people's expectations last year and actually got the playoff spot instead of the Pats. So what happens this year? As of now, Bill Parcells
Pats
is still involved. So will they challenge the Patriots for the division or will they just get a wild card spot? Maybe they will bust all together and hope the show's going well.
I think they have a better situation than the Jets or Bills. So if there's going to be a team that fights for a wild card spot, assuming obviously the Pats win the division, I'd say it's the Dolphins.
I still think the Jets are the most talented of the three, and we'll see what Rex Ryan does. I like how he phrased as of now Parcells, because that's really how he works. Because
right.
he now has that deal where he can walk away anytime and collect
anytime.
It all.
I know.
I got to be so honest weird. With you. Everybody thought he was coming back for the money. Why doesn't he just walk away then? Because he can collect his full salary at any time.
He's weird. Why does he want to go everywhere in the league and turn every team around?
Ego.
Stay put.
Ego. Very, he's mercurial.
Stay somewhere.
Ego.
Yeah.
Biggest ego on the planet.
I'm sick of him.
Yeah.
Get out.
Yeah.
Wow. Favre's gone. You need a new guy to say that about?
Yeah.
I remember when, you know, Parcells was here, obviously, and he left for the Jets. And there was a lot of Patriots fans who were very upset at that. They felt that he was pushed out. And they kind of followed Parcells. They became Jets fans. You know,
Al from Everett.
Well, that's one guy. But there's a lot of guys who are very upset at the Crafts and the Patriots for getting rid of Parcells or pushing him out. But I think now, if you look at it
right.
with what's transpired, since you can understand as an owner what a headache it would be having him as your head coach.
I mean, you hired that guy to head coach or front office or whatever, and you have to constantly be wondering when is he going to leave.
Right.
Why would you want that?
I mean, is this guy really thinking in the
because
interest of
because you went from
your
1-15 to the playoffs. You have to weigh that.
Right.
He can turn it around.
Turn it around, but then when he leaves, what happens?
Right.
You have to make sure you find the right guy to replace him to keep it.
You have to. Every
but it's
decision
always
he makes,
better off when he leaves than when he got there.
Yeah. Every every decision he makes, though, you have to wonder, is it in the best interests of my team or is it in his best interest?
Yeah.
You know, you just don't.
See, I would have no problem handing the keys and knowing he's going to leave, and when he leaves, my team will be better.
Because that's the reality.
But then you run the risk of not being able to sustain
yeah,
that.
But if you're the Dolphins, you couldn't get it done with Cam Cameron. You couldn't get it done with Nick Saban. You had tried a couple other routes.
So were the Cowboys better when he left?
Yeah.
Or did he leave them in kind of disarray
a
little
better.
Bit?
They were better.
They were better.
They were a better football team.
Do you think
did he draft DeMarcus Ware?
But I'm not just talking about on the field. I'm talking
but
about the state overall, of the
one
team.
Thing he can't do anything about is the owner. If you took that owner away, they are far better off than when
point.
He got there.
That's a fair point. Yeah.
But do you think he decides to leave teams when he feels like he's done all he can do?
God only knows what the reason. I bet you every time it's a different reason.
I think he's a little nuts.
Yeah.
A little?
Yeah. You know, he's got the hair look. He's got the age thing. The age thing bothers him. You can tell he doesn't want to get old, doesn't want to be the old guy. He's out the tan and I'm not so sure he hasn't had some plastic surgery at some point.
Oh, you think so?
I wouldn't be stunned. He is very image and ego kind of guy. But again, if you suck, hire him for 2 years because you won't suck when he leaves.
You know, and I have to say that him being, you know, whatever his title is at Miami is not good for the league. It's better for him to be in the front lines, whether it's on TV or as the head coach of a team. If you're going to have Bill Parcells in your league, you want him in front of the camera.
Because he's a character. And
he's
he can't
a character.
Be a character
he's bigger
right
than life.
Right.
He's good for the league, but not sitting in the background where you don't hear from him.
He'll be back. He'll leave Miami in a year. And
where does he go?
TV, then back to another team.
That's what I mean. Where does he go next?
I don't know. Who's going to suck in 3 years?
Detroit?
They might not suck in 3 years. Schwartzy might get it done. But he'll go to a team that sucks.
The new team in L.A.
Oakland?
Right.
Oakland, Al Davis dies, and the new ownership turns it over to Parcells.
You know, everyone says Brad Childress is a loss away from getting fired, you know? So Minnesota moves to L.A., and you bring in Parcells, and you got instant credibility.
Sure.
You know?
I think the Chargers should move to L.A. If they really want an L.A. team, they already have one.
Well, they
already have one. They're Southern California's team.
The Chargers had an out that they didn't exercise, so that's a good sign for San Diego, but we'll see.
I'm just saying that the league wouldn't have to worry about an established city losing a franchise if they did that, really, because San Diego is really Southern California's team.
It is.
So build it halfway between L.A. and San Diego and, you know, whatever.
I think they want to be in a metropolitan area. I don't think they want to be in between.
Downtown L.A.?
Well, you know, Alameda, somewhere around that area. They don't want to be in between cities. They want to be pretty much
The Niners are considering that. Santa Clara. Do you know that?
Is that right?
Well, they've been considering that for 5 years, and it never goes through. They had an entire plan. It was a retail condominium development was included and never made it. But what happened to the – I thought they recently voted on a stadium in some small community where there's only like 260 voters and passed it. They're going to build a stadium.
The Chargers?
No, L.A.
Suburban
L.A.
That's so what? They voted on being able to build one.
Right.
Yeah.
Now they need the team.
I thought they were going to build it first.
No, it's probably conditional. It's probably conditional. They probably gave them the zoning rights.
That'd be crazy.
Pretty soon. Well, they've done that in other places.
I know.
Pretty sure that's how the Tropicana Dome got built.
Yeah, I mean.
On speculation?
But
they built it and then got a baseball team.
From what I read, the NFL is kind of looking at that like, yeah, okay, great. What they want is 4 or 5 towns saying we'll build it so that they can leverage against it. They're never going to just – town says, okay, we'll move in. They want to get the best deal they can.
Yeah.
Well, there was one of those that had really nice renderings. I liked it.
Oh, they usually all do. I mean, you know.
Then you got the Super Bowl there. Star power, baby.
Let's see. Steve in New Hampshire called in, but he had to comment on the – Seymour trade that we were talking about. He says, if Richard Seymour were part of a good trade, I say see ya. Jarvis Green is just as good. This could be a good argument. You're healthier and always been able to be a great playmaker at important times of the game. Maybe a little inconsistent last year, but tell me how dependable 93 has been.
I thought he had a very good year last year.
He stepped it up.
I'm not ready to say that Jarvis Green is as good as Richard Seymour.
I will never be ready to say that. Jarvis Green
great
is
guy,
a nice little
good player.
Nice, very nice man. Yep. One of the nicest in the locker room, but they're not even in the same stratosphere in terms of talent and play. And they also don't do the same thing.
If you got rid of Seymour in a trade like that and it wasn't for another defensive lineman, you'd have to replace him.
If Jarvis Green starts, well, I guess if you put Julius Peppers next to Jarvis Green, there's a new dynamic.
Maybe they
there.
Look at it that way. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's a. I wonder, is there a chance either Mike Vrabel or Adelis Thomas is going to be next to Gerard Mayo next year, and that they are
ooh. Inside?
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess there's a chance.
I guess. Well, if they get a Peppers or somebody like that in
well,
the draft,
well, then
and
yeah.
they
yeah.
move that guy, slot him to be the outside starter.
If you have your best four on the field,
right. And then one of them would have
a backup.
To move. Oh yeah.
I mean, if you draft a guy like whoever you think the best Arakpo, if you get him and you think he's going to be a great pass rusher, not that he starts right away, but if he plays, he's going to be on the outside. Vrabel moves inside, or Peppers is playing on the outside. I think you keep Thomas on the outside and move Vrabel inside. His play deteriorated last year. Clearly, he was not an impact player almost at all last year. I mean, he had what, 4 sacks? After 12 and a half.
Yeah. And well, 12 and a half was a record injured. Year for him,
right.
too.
But I would say even beyond the 12 and a half, he was dominant the year before.
Yeah.
He was an all-pro caliber player. Mm-hmm. Remember that game against Pittsburgh where he beat Willie Cole in every single play? I don't think he got a single sack in the game, but he absolutely owned him. They were complaining that he knew the snap count or
yeah.
whatever. He also doesn't like playing on the inside.
that's the other thing. I mean,
if he's almost done... You know, he said there were some reports that he had shoulder issue. That was why he lost his edge. If he's almost done, he can be almost done for a couple of years and still be productive inside. I thought he didn't help them last year on the outside at all.
Not as much as he did in 07, but I just wonder if a guy really doesn't want to be at a certain position and you put him there, how much is he really helping you? You know, I mean, I still would love to see AD stay on the outside, but I think he's. If you're going to put one of the two of them on the inside, I think he's the better fit there.
Not so sure.
But I don't know. That's a tough call. And
Fred thinks we're going to have to make it because you have Vrabel, Thomas, and Peppers.
Yeah.
Three guys, two spots.
And have three guys on the outside.
Unless Peppers is going to play defensive end like ESPN wrote about a month and a half ago and apparently flew under the radar.
I don't think that's going to happen.
You never know. I mean, maybe... Belichick comes up with some new hybrid.
It would have
defense.
To be because Julius Peppers is not coming here to occupy blockers
right.
in a two-gap defensive end.
Not
three,
for the
four.
Money he's going to ask for.
I mean, he's a
well,
double-digit
that's just
sack
not what he
guy.
Does either.
Right.
He's a
right.
get after the quarterback.
He's
guy.
A
right.
big dude, and he's not that much lighter than Seymour. I think he plays at like 290, and Seymour probably plays at 310, 315, but. He's an athletic, speed-based edge guy, whereas Seymour is, he's athletic.
Yeah, but he's got the combination
yeah,
of strength.
If Seymour
too.
Lost the 20 pounds,
I
he wouldn't
he
be able
to be a more impressive edge guy.
Yeah, but he wouldn't be doing what
he
Peppers
would not.
Does.
Peppers is a world-class athlete.
Yeah.
Pure athlete.
Yeah.
I mean, he played basketball in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. He's a freak of nature, as they say, with nature in quotes.
Chris with a TIN will end it with his. He says, Jim Zorn at the Combine. I was watching the Combine coverage on Wednesday. Got a good laugh. The camera went to Jim Zorn. He was sitting there basically staring into space and then looked around the suite he was in. Finally, he let out a huge yawn and a stretch. Classic. He has no clue, just like you said. All right. Well,
it's
that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Thank you, everybody, for listening or downloading and listening. And we will see you next Tuesday.